honor of my partner, Bill Leff. Welcome to the show. I'm Wendy Snyder. Filling in for Bill Leff is Rick Hogan. And Bill would say, if he was here, welcome to Friday, the best day of the week in the whole wide world.
Well, he
certainly, he'd say it more eloquently.
If he was here, he wouldn't say hello to me, that's for sure.
Oh, that
Hi, Wendy. It's always fun to be on with you.
Nice to talk to you.
Well, it's not like we don't talk sometimes when we're standing outside this building.
We double as security guards, so
yes,
we stand out in front of
the
building.
Well, they do have, you've noticed some new security guards here, the guys in suits.
Yes.
It's like Men in Black. I mean, it's like really spooky. And most of the security guards here, I'm on a first-name basis, but I know about their families. These guys go, hey, how you doing? They don't speak.
I didn't know that they were, I don't want to give away a lot of secrets because obviously it's for security reasons.
In case you want to get in the Tribune Tower today. Yeah.
But I have noticed a complete uptick in security around the building, which is great. I'm very happy for it.
Well, the interesting thing that I learned, I was like, who are these guys? Where did these guys come from? And there's regular security guards say, well, they were supposed to start in January. And
really?
I said, well, what kind of company is this? It's July, for God's sake. I said, is there an extra threat involved here?
Yeah, because that's what I thought of immediately.
Yeah, so did I. So did I. They've got new guards in NBC Tower. I guess it's the thing to do.
I'm okay with it. This country has got to get back to what it used to be because, I don't know, it is completely unraveling. We are stronger together. Is that the message that, is that what Hillary's saying?
That's one of the messages. We could be stronger together. I think it's less a message than a hope.
It is a hope.
And there was a lot of hope, not to echo Barack Obama, but there was a lot of hope in those speeches last night.
I watched Hillary Clinton. I want to love her. I don't know that I love her.
Mm-hmm.
I had mentioned on the air yesterday that when, not just Hillary either, it's every woman, it's mainly myself, when we feel like our backs are up against the wall or we're trying to make a point and we raise our voice, we sound like we're scolding somebody.
She's not a great speaker.
No, but last night she softened it up.
I thought she was fine last night. I thought she was fine. I thought she hit all of the salient points. But as I told you just 3 minutes ago, now it gets serious. The shows are over, ladies and gentlemen. The entertainment's over. The concerts and speeches are over, and now it's serious. And I think that's a real point. You would think, oh, my God, every woman, and you could see it in the faces of women last night. It's a proud moment, I believe.
First woman presidential nominee.
You cannot diminish the importance of something like that. You know, it was less than a century ago that women were, oh, my God, we're allowed to vote.
Exactly.
And they had to fight very strenuously to get the vote. But I think a lot of people still, you would think, oh, every woman in the world, every woman in America is going to vote for Hillary. I think, like you, you need to be sold. You need to have a little more here to go in that voting booth and pull that lever, as people used to do it in voting booths.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Now it's the electronic, not even electronic. It's, I like to do the electronic, but that's always taken, so I have to go back to the little thing where you punch
the holes and everything.
Yeah.
I like the little holes, too. I'm old-fashioned.
I like the screen. It's like doing Pokemon Go. Now it's President Go.
Well, this is this is totally against the law, but when Barack Obama first ran in 08, the little Fiona Kogan, who was roughly a child, I mean, a little baby girl, she said, it was 08, and she goes, Dad, you know, Barack Obama, he lives in Hyde Park where I live. I go, I know. I used to see him. I go, okay. I want to vote for president for him. And I go, well, you can't really vote. But nevertheless, when we went in the polling place, which is on 56th Street in Hyde Park, I took her into, she was four, so I took her into the voting booth with me, and I said, here, Fiona, touch it.
Oh, my God.
And she voted for Barack Obama.
You know those security guards that were out front, they are now coming inside to get you?
You're under arrest.
What's the statute of limitations?
I think the statute of limitations in allowing your four-year-old daughter to punch a ballot is, like, gone. But the funny thing about that, she was so worried. No one was in the polling place. And I said, don't worry. Barack Obama is going to do just fine in Hyde Park. She goes, Dad, take me to another polling place. So we went to another polling place. There's nobody there. We went to another one. She's crying. Dad, no one's voting for Barack Obama.
Aww.
He's going to lose. So, and I'm so pleased. This is a memory that will last me forever. I took her down to Grant Park.
Uh-huh.
And said, Fiona, look at these people. Dad, who? I said, all of these people voted for Barack Obama. And I've never, no birthday,
cool?
No party. I've never seen her happier. Never seen her happier.
All right, somebody's texting she's the second woman to be nominated. Who was the first?
By a major party, there is no other one.
No.
No, thank you for your text. Vote.
You got to vote. And
don't boo, vote. See, this is the same. This is the thing that troubles me every election year, whether it's a local election or a national political election, is, gee, we're all so excited. We all have our opinions. And, you know, maybe half of eligible voters get to the polls. That is appalling.
It is
appalling. That is shameful. That is embarrassing.
It's going to be more this
to democracy.
Voting time.
You would hope, but still, you know, and understand some people are old, some people are sick, they can't get out that day to vote. But 50%? Crazy. Shameful.
Yeah, but I mean, I have run into a lot of people that do not like either candidate and they are not voting.
At all.
No, and I don't understand that.
Maybe there's something that happened. I think there are a lot of people who can be, if not swayed one way or the other. I think most people are leaning one way or the other right now. And to get them into the voting booth, they will have to be convinced. They're going to have
Scott
to be pulled.
Scott Baio convinced a lot of people, I'm sure, at the Republican National Convention.
Oh, sure.
Hey,
sure.
If Chachi likes them, I'm good to go. We're going to take a quick break. It's Rick Kogan. Of course, you know that voice. And Bill Left's on vacation. He will return on Monday. I'm Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. And Rick Kogan sitting in the Bill Left chair for the first part of the day. Then Dean Richards is coming in for the second half.
What a double team that is.
I know. It's like the classics. I was going to say like the old timers club,
fine.
But I'm not.
No.
Legends.
That's fine. I don't care. The
Legends.
The Legends Club. That's very funny. I do wish we were at Lollapalooza, sort of. It fascinates me. It's fascinated me for 25 years. How these kids, I have a health club in the Intercontinental Hotel, and so at every Lollapalooza, I am surrounded by swarms of young people who mostly tell me, hey, I said, how is it you're staying here? You don't look like you're rich. Oh, no, my parents got us a suite for the weekend. That generally, I'm generalizing, but it's like, I don't know, Lollapalooza is not cheap.
No.
And certainly staying in the Intercontinental is not cheap.
No.
And they're like, yeah, do you know how expensive this Michael Jordan's restaurant is? I go, yeah, it's a higher ticket than your, you know, college, bar. And they go, Can we write it to our room? I go, why do you ask? Well, then my parents will have to pay for it. I'm thinking, man, my parents never would have done this.
I guess I'm not a good parent because I wouldn't do that either.
Well, maybe your kids are too smart to go to the 4-day festival and sit in the rain. You know music better than I. It is curious to me whether these people go to really, really sample bands that they've never heard. My theory is it's the scene rather than the music. The music is an embellishment to the scene. What do you think of that theory?
I tend to think at the first few concerts they did go to see the bands because it's interesting. Wow, I can see all these bands in one day.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just turned into the place to be, the coming of age place for kids to go. It's like their Woodstock. Kevin, you're...
They go for the Instagram photo opportunities.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. And they dress in the oddest way. Starting yesterday, there is a tree outside the Chicago Tribune with a sort of planter surrounding it, which is a very nice place to sit. And some people at the Tribune who smoke cigarettes will take their breaks at the tree, which has come to be known as the tree of knowledge for some insane reason.
Or the tree of death, since you're smoking. Usually it's the tree of life, but...
This is the tree of knowledge. And so, this week, starting yesterday, when people realized that Lollapalooza was going on, there had been more people sitting at that tree watching these young women dressed scantily. I guarantee you these women, wherever they're from, if they're from, you know, the suburbs or downtown Chicago or, you know, Ann Arbor, Michigan, they did not walk out of their houses dressed the way they dress to go to Lollapalooza. It is scandalous, and so many Tribune reporters should be ashamed of themselves for sitting there like a bunch. It's like, you know, the classic old cliche of the construction workers, you know, sitting out whistling at women and, you know, trying to grab them. These guys don't whistle, but the looks on their faces, these sort of almost, you know, 2 seconds away from drooling on themselves. It's kind of obscene. If you really want to see a, it's not like an after party. It's a during party. Come outside the Tribune, look at one of the trees and see these goofy middle-aged guys all sitting around drooling as they watch young women walk to Lollapalooza.
I've seen some nice-looking young men walking to Lollapalooza, too, so it's not just the men looking at the young women.
Yeah, but I really, the women who work for the Tribune are much more mature than
That's
the men
true.
Who work for the Tribune, so they're not going to be
we
out there.
We don't let
like,
the drool drip out of the
hooting,
corner of our mouth.
Hooting at guys. But it's, you know, 100,000 people a day. That's something, Wendy.
I know. And Kevin, you know, you're young and hip and going to Lollapalooza. Kevin Richter is our producer. I think Bill and I have...
What are you wearing, Kevin?
Well, what I'm wearing right now?
Bill and I have rubbed off on you because when I came in this morning, you were like, what's with these young girls going to Lala?
Yeah.
With their butt cheeks hanging out.
I was walking
out.
To the Clark and Lake Blue Line station yesterday, and it was just like, well, a lot of them didn't even seem to be walking the right direction. I don't know if they knew where they were going.
Probably not.
But yeah, it was shocking,
just
to say the least.
Exposure of the butt cheeks?
A lot of that, yep.
Those
a
are
whole lot of
popular
that.
Shorts now.
And I'm seeing
legendary
like,
midriff exposure.
High heels and such. If I'm going to be at a festival all day,
you're not going to wear your high
I'm
heels?
I'm leaving my high heels at home. That's for the after party.
All right, but I understand that. I mean, it's become a fashion statement, you know, where everybody is Instagramming and...
Well, the Tribune also does. David Sirik, one of the art directors, is out there taking pictures all day
of the fashion
statements by these the people who attend.
Well, here's the deal. All right, if you have a body to let your butt cheeks show, go ahead, because it's hot out there. Midriff tops, same thing. It's hot. Ryan Burrow went to cover it yesterday, and he had jeans on, and it wasn't a flannel shirt, but it was a plaid shirt with a T-shirt underneath. I said, get me some scissors. I'll make those cutoffs. You're going to be so hot there. Kevin is going there today, and Kevin, you said you're dressing for comfort, but you look very stylish.
I mean, thanks.
But what, I mean...
Well, that's a thin line. I mean, if you can be comfortable and stylish, but I would recommend to any gentlemen and women who want to go there, you know what? This is what you want to see. This is what Lollapalooza is for you. There are 30 miles of beaches in Chicago, which on a nice day you can avail yourself. It's every day of the year, and it doesn't cost a cent.
Kevin, you're turning into an old man. Do you realize that?
Yes, I know.
I mean, say this, but...
Yeah, it's easy for us to say.
These kids today, but you're not supposed to be saying that. You are one of those kids today.
I mean, I'm 29. I'm not like...
Oh yeah,
young.
I'm not like young. In whose world is 29 not young? But some of these guys, you know, you should. I hope you're really good, Kevin, at determining the ages of these people. Do you have to be a certain age to go to Lollapalooza? You have to be 18?
No, I don't think so.
You can go at like 14.
I think
you can.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I did see somebody who was working, I guess, at the entrance on at Lollapalooza. They posted something on Facebook. All the IDs they took, are those all fake IDs?
I would assume so.
You know, the other
thing. They looked good.
Wendy, you're...
The fake ID I had was a piece of crap.
Of course, mine, too. Think of mine. It was like, you know, written on a little piece of rock with a really terrible drawing with a tablet and a really terrible etching of my face. But think of how these days, given computers, it must be so easy to make a fake ID.
I guess. You got 3D printers, you could make a fake yourself that's 21.
Yeah, you can make a hologram and have someone go there, tell
Ryan,
you how it was.
Ryan Burrow is up in the sports office right now. So were you okay? Did you fare well yesterday?
No, I did fine. I sweat through one of my shirts. It was just so darn humid out there.
You brought more than one shirt? Did you?
No. I actually did that. I've done that before, and it really didn't matter. Because, you know, once you put the new shirt on, I mean, you get slimed as soon as some sweaty person walks by you. But as far as the clothing goes, it's just a weird fashion.
Can you
buy
clothes there?
It's like mom jeans for the women. It's like mom jeans pulled up over the midriff, but with like super short shorts. And I just don't get it. Like,
wait, what do you mean? Like the waistline is real high? Those are very popular now.
It's like above the belly
now.
Button, but then the shorts are cut super short.
Right, but it gives you a slimming figure, and most of these kids don't need a slimming figure. They already have
They're
it.
They're kids.
But, I mean, look at American Eagle. It's like they have something called the high-waisted carnival pant or fest pant.
But the shirts are like, they've got like high collars. This is the women's fashion, so, you know, take my advice what you will, you know, with that. But, I mean, they look like retro throwbacks from Friends with, like, the cut-off sleeves but, like, the high necks. It's really strange. It looks like it kind of stepped back into 1993 with some of these outfits.
You
know,
Ryan, can you buy clothes there, or do they have clothes for...
Oh, yeah. Anyone with a credit card can buy anything there. That's
wow. I'm going to go there to go shopping. I would like some of those clothes.
See, to me, I may go there for lunch.
It's a festival costume. You know, do they actually dress like this every day, or are they buying these outfits for
Lollapalooza? Oh, just for Lollapalooza.
It's a costume.
I have to tell you, though, as far as the crowd there, much different than last year. Last year, remember, you had Metallica and McCartney?
Yeah.
And this year, they're a little younger. I had to go out and interview some, and it was hard to find someone who you could keep a conversation with for more than 3 minutes. Let me just put it that way. I mean, once you added out all the dudes and mans. But yeah, last year was interesting because you had a lot of older people who, you know,
just went
to
see McCartney
for the first time and talking about the scene and some of the other, you know, bands that maybe they wanted to check out. But this one is, you know, it's just a different vibe, different crowd this year.
And we learned from Veronica Carter yesterday that she did go to see Paul McCartney, and you were yelling at the kids that were not into it. Is that what you said yesterday?
They weren't there to see the music.
And you were yelling at them. Saying, do you know who this is?
Sir Paul, for God's sake.
Inside, I was yelling at them.
Okay.
I did not see Malia yesterday, though. I looked. I didn't see any Malia Obama around. I thought maybe we'd get to see her. I don't know. Maybe she's going later this week.
Is she going?
Well, you know, she went 2 years ago.
Right,
and
I remember
we know that.
That
she's in town. I mean, she's been spotted at the Walgreens in Hyde Park. We know that Michelle and her got in town in the middle of the week, so I figured that's why she's here. You know, she's got to celebrate. She graduated, and then she's got this gap year.
And she's got a year off, man.
A gap year, way to start it off with Lollapalooza. So if you see some well-hydrated men with earbuds walking around one particular person, it may be Malia.
Do they have to wear the suits, or do they get to dress down?
They wear cut-off sleeves on their suits for Lala.
Radiohead shirts and earbuds, yeah.
All right, we have to take a quick break. It's Rick Kogan in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Thanks, Ryan. Thank you, Veronica. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is off for the rest of the week. Rick Kogan is sitting in the Bill Leff chair.
Doing my best to fill his chair and be as amusing as Bill.
You're doing well, but I'm telling you, it's a tough act to follow with Bill.
It's an impossible act.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's incredibly funny. He's one of the, you both are great, but he is one of the quickest humorists that I have ever met or ever heard. He's that quick.
Can you get a recording of that, Kevin, so we can play that
when
Bill
comes back on
Monday?
Yes, it's a promo. Yes, hi, it's the Bill and Wendy show. You're both really good, but Bill is a genius.
There's our promo.
I love listening to both of you, but Bill Leff is a genius.
All right. We were talking about the Lollapalooza fashion. Pierogi Fest is going on, but there's another event that's going on in Oak Park tomorrow. And Val Camaletti on the line with us, the owner, the proprietor of Val's Holla in Oak Park, 239 Harrison.
One of the great Chicago treasures.
Absolutely.
She
Chicago treasure.
Yes.
I don't know whose voice is lower, by the way.
We both had fascinating, interesting, abusive lives. Yeah. Val, great to talk to you. Great
Hi,
to talk
Rick.
To you.
It's good to hear you.
Too, honey. You too.
Val, we have such a good time going to your record store day every year. My son Michael always spends at least $200 on vinyl, and that has made a complete...
That's my boy.
Yeah, I know. it's a complete... vinyl has resurged for quite some time, but it's even more so now.
Oh, it's the only thing keeping us alive. It's what's keeping us alive is the love of vinyl, and more importantly, it's the passion with which young vinyl buyers are buying vinyl. That's the part that is thrilling and wonderful for me, because they're buying it with the same kind of passion that their parents and grandparents bought vinyl.
But Val, don't you think there's another added element to this now? Because I'm a vinyl kid, of course.
Of course.
It is the packaging. I think
it's part of it.
I think it's a huge part of it. It's so much more interesting. It's like going in an art gallery, any album you buy.
That's right. And even though they attempted to miniaturize that when they put out CDs with the same covers and all of that stuff, particularly as you got older, it became harder and harder to read those.
I really want to spend,
you know, in a magnifying glass reading liner notes.
Right.
But liner notes, you say that, and Val, when we had you on for Record Store Day, that is, to me, what the excitement of a record album
is. No question.
It's like you're unwrapping a Christmas present. You look at the liner notes. You look at the sleeve of the record to see if they've put something special on there. That's where it means so much more to a person than just a CD or a download.
Well, it's part of the experience. It's the whole experience that I think kids are living with now with vinyl. It's that whole thing of sitting down and having a relationship with the artist on the record. It's not just about putting on some music. It's having a relationship. It's finding out what that artist is trying to tell you, a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's an album.
Val, I'm very curious about what you think. I'm just recalling my days and it didn't happen often, of waiting for records to be released and the release.
Yeah.
But remember, and this is not the most artistically involved album, but I never will forget. It's a visceral memory for me, going to get the White Album.
Oh, sure.
And it was just this plain white cover with the raised letters, and I thought to myself, oh, my God.
That's a work of art.
It is a work
of art.
And
the four pictures of the Beatles that I stole from my sister.
Yeah, yeah. But it is,
well,
I think.
The Beatles stories, of course, are unending.
You know, I think the difference is you buy an album, and it's like having a conversation with somebody, with the band members, as opposed to having a conversation via Twitter or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the thing that I find most interesting is that I tell the story all the time, but when, you know, 45 years ago, when a bunch of guys would come in and you asked them what they were doing Friday night, and they'd say, oh, we're listening to the new Zeppelin album.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that meant a group of people, one album, and then arguing with Led Zeppelin about why they put that song on side one.
Right.
When it could have been on side two, it would have sounded better if it had been between this song and this song.
Well, that's what albums did. You sparked something up, and it sparked a conversation.
A conversation between and the artist.
Well, but it's also, Val, the thing that intrigues me is when groups, any group, puts together an album, they are creating a kind of narrative. They are not just tossing songs off randomly. It's this song comes after this song, which comes after this song, which I think is something lost in this immediately download age.
Absolutely.
Do you agree?
There's a wonderful story, and if I have the time, if you indulge me, there was a wonderful article in the paper that Lindsey Buckingham was putting together songs of an album in his home studio. And his son, who was maybe 12 or 13 at the time, walked in and said, what are you doing, Dad? And Dad said, I'm trying to figure out which songs to put in what order on this album. And his son kind of looked at him and said, why? You know, what for? And he said, and he tried to explain how it mattered what the order of the song was. It mattered what he had to say. And basically, his son at that time, and this is probably 5 or 6 years ago, we actually cut it out of the paper and posted it. But his son kind of looked at him and said, whatever, Dad, because he didn't quite get it yet. But that was a very important part. And sometimes it postponed albums. I remember a Stevie Wonder album that we thought, the man is insane. He kept postponing it. And, you know, a Stevie Wonder album makes a big difference when it's coming. And he kept postponing it because there was something about one song that he wasn't happy with, that he wanted to put in a different order or a different situation, or he wanted to change the song or whatever. But it mattered to the artist, and therefore it mattered to the kids who were listening to the record. And then for a long, long, long time, we kind of lost that. And to be truthful, we lost it And it became a repetition of what existed when I was 14, which is back in two centuries ago, when you bought 45s.
Yeah.
And you just stacked them up, just like an iPod, and you played the 45s. Now, you were more involved in those 45s, perhaps, than some most kids are today with their downloads. But you still, you didn't buy albums. That didn't happen until really the Beatles.
All right. And Valhalla is located at 239 Harrison Street in Oak Park. And you've been working up to this event all year. Tell us about Hallapalooza that's going on.
It is our 44th. It's our 44th anniversary. We've had an anniversary two-day weekend since 1976 when we were four. And this is number 44. So we're keeping it a little more casual. Number 45 is going to be a real blowout. So we only have seven bands on our stage this time, four on Saturday and three on Sunday. And number one is Mr. Michael McInerney, who is going to open the whole thing up at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And, Wendy, I think you know him.
I do know him. Michael, you know Val?
Yes, I do.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Val. How have you been?
I am very excited that you are our kickoff performer, and I think it's going to be wonderful. You blew us away on Record Store Day when you did a couple of songs, and I love your stage presence. I love your playing. I love the way you sing, and I'm very, very excited about having you in the room that day.
Well, thank you very much, Val. I'm really looking forward to playing it, and I didn't spend $200 last year.
Yes, you did. I spent it.
Or you didn't.
Yeah, it's not your money.
All right, so we're going to have Michael do a song after we take a break, but I want you to tell, there will be a sale going on, refreshments.
There will be a store-wide sale going on. There will be live music both days. Music starts at 1 o'clock with Michael on Saturday, and we'll have raffles for concert performances. We'll have I spent my morning buying cookies, so we'll have cookies, and we'll just have a good time celebrating 44 years.
It's a remarkable run, Val. You should be
very proud.
You should be very proud.
I am, and I take great joy in the customers that have been shopping in my store since 44 years ago, 72, and actually for 5 years before that. So this is really 44 of Valhalla and 49 for me in Oak Park. So 45 and 50 comes next year, and we have plenty of customers. As a matter of fact, the act that comes on after Michael, Bill Cavanaugh, has been one of those customers since he was a wee lad. And we'll be playing on the stage in honor of our 44th, which is also a thrill.
Can't wait to see you tomorrow. Go to Hallapalooza, 239 Harrison Street, Oak Park. Michael Mack is playing at 1 p.m., and he'll play for us next. Val, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I hope I get to see you all there.
Yeah, you're a doll, honey.
All right,
you're
take care.
Doll.
All right, thank you, Val. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and Michael would like to grace us with some slide guitar.
Can't wait.
Coming up next, it's Rick Kogan in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. The gypsy woman told my mother. I'm kind of a man sometimes. I forget, a lot of people forget I'm a woman.
That would seem impossible to forget.
I don't know. Rick Hogan in for Bill Leff. Michael McInerney in the studio as well. Why are you not at Lollapalooza?
I didn't. You wouldn't give me the money, Mom. Mom and Dad, you wouldn't give me any money to go there. You spent it all on my vinyl records.
I wish it was that simple.
Have you ever been? You've never been.
I've never been to Lollapalooza. I wish I went last year because Sir Paul would have been phenomenal to see. But I'm just...
Not your style?
Not my bag this year. It's a lot of... No.
Bands that you're not 100%. You're an old soul, though. You like the blues. You like classic rock. And unless, you know, there's a Zeppelin reunion, I don't see you going there.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty intense, though.
That would be pretty great.
See, this is dangerous, though, because you're sitting in this window, and this window has all these passing young women. So if next year you try to fool your parents and go, yeah, I'd like to go see, well, I don't know who's playing, but I'd like to go to Lollapalooza, they'll know why, Michael. They'll know why.
Oh, trust me. Trust me. I've been seeing them. I work right by a train station.
Oh, okay.
So I see
all of them getting on in hordes. Mm-hmm. And trying to hide stuff in their purses and their butt cheeks showing. You've noticed that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Red-blooded American guitar player.
Quite simply put, yeah.
All right. Do you want reverb?
I don't know. Let's see how it sounds. Does that sound good?
It's up to you. What are you going to play?
I'm going to play a song, maybe a little less reverb.
All right,
sound
check
like
one,
I'm
two.
In a cave. Ooh.
All right, just in here.
Check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Do you want it off?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to be playing a song that I can guarantee you will not hear at Lollapalooza. It's by Elmore James. It's called Dust My Broom. Get up in the morning, I believe I'll dust my broom. I'm gonna get up in the morning, I believe I'll dust my broom. I quit the best gal I'm loving, and now my friends can't get in my room. I'm gonna write a letter, telephone every town I know. Gonna write a letter, telephone every town I know. Shona, if she ain't in Mississippi, she's over in East Monroe, I know. I don't want no woman, want every downtown man she meets. I don't want no woman, want every downtown man she meets. There ought to be some kind of law to keep my baby off the street. I believe my time ain't long. I believe my time ain't long. You're gonna leave me and break up my happy home.
Make Mama proud.
Michael, that was fantastic. That was fantastic.
Good job, Michael.
Thank you.
This going to be a career?
Hopefully.
Yeah? How old are you?
I'm clocking in at 17 years.
Wow. You're a great singer and a great player. That was really special for me.
Thank you.
Hopefully for the listeners as well, Rick.
Who cares?
I hope you all enjoyed it.
Who cares? You get a free concert here, ladies and gentlemen. You get the free wit and wisdom of Wendy and Bill.
Well, you're playing the part of Bill today, so you need to be the wisdom.
Well, I only got an hour left. Dean Richards is handling the wisdom.
Right.
Dean Richards will handle that when
later.
He's on at one.
Michael McInerney, you have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/TheMichaelMack. That's the one to follow.
Yeah.
It's easier than spelling McInerney.
It's easy to remember, but I didn't figure it out until like last week.
That's all right.
I forgot what we made the URL.
And Valhalla, you will be opening up the 44th anniversary of Hollapalooza, 239 Harrison Street, Oak Park, Illinois, Saturday at 1.
Yep, and you can bet yourself a shirt. I'll be perusing the blues selection there.
Yeah, I know you will be. I'm not giving you money. You got to pay for your own stuff this time.
Oh, hell, I'll give you money.
I'll
be your Uncle Rick.
How long a set are you playing?
An hour.
Wow.
And I got to put that set list together.
You better. Thank you, Michael Mack. Michael McInerney, thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, the lovely Wendy Snyder.
A.K.A.
my mother.
A.K.A. my mom.
I got here on my own merit, though. Kind of.
That's true.
I drove you.
Well,
and
I said my own merit, not my own car.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break, and we are coming back with news and more to come here on 720 WGN. I knew this would be a great idea to have Rick Hogan in on the day my son came up, because right now he's schooling him on how to do the billy goat properly.
Yes, I don't believe they should pay when they have to go to the goat. Yeah, I've just told him to go get one of my books at the goat for free.
Oh, look at that.
Well, he needs to read this. He's 17 now. He can read the book.
You got to become a man thanks to Rick Hogan.
Well, pretty soon, maybe they'll hire him as the house band. The Billy Goat's never had a house band, so maybe he can become the house band.
Cheeseburger, yeah.
You've got to write a song. Meow. You've got to write a cheeseburger song, but that's a small price to pay for a steady gig.
All right, well, cool. Drew Mack, thanks
for
bringing him up.
Have fun down there, you guys. Great to meet you.
Not too many beers, Jim. You're with your 17-year-old son. Can you not have a beer at the Billy Goat? I have to have an ice-cold beer with my double.
Can someone
double.
Not have a
beer? Yeah, isn't that impossible?
I don't drink beer, so I have an ice-cold bourbon with my cheeseburgers, which is really one of
you. You're not a beer drinker?
No. You know why? All you people want to know is
yes.
The first time I ever went into a bar for a drink, I was 17, and it was with some older fellows. We had just gotten back from losing most of our money at Maywood Park at the harness races.
Yeah, I remember that place.
And so
across
we went
from
in
Kitty Land.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good.
That's
Kitty
where
Land.
I was when you were at Maywood Park.
That was a good Kitty Land. So we go to a place called Melvin's, which was arguably one of the first outdoor cafes in Chicago. And we sit there, and these guys are all like, "Give me a vodka." And it was a tough crowd. So I thought, "Oh my God, I'm 17. I have an ID that says I'm 17. How am I going to pull this off? What would you like?" I said, "I'd have a." I have a Jack Daniels with one ice cube.
Look at you. How old are you?
17. Thinking that they would say, God. Oh, my God, look at this guy. He's such an experienced drinker. He doesn't want it on the rocks. He doesn't want it straight up.
Just
he has had so many drinks that he only wants it with one ice cube. They serve me, and that has been the downfall of my life. One of the downfalls.
Now, the drinking age was 21 at the time,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
We used to obviously go to Wisconsin where
sure.
You only had to be
18.
They changed that.
I remember. I know. They ruined people's lives by changing that.
Oh, they did not. Because look at now that kids are having, it's harder to get beer for kids, but easier to get heroin. What's wrong with the world now?
Yeah, no kidding. Tell me about it. That's tragic. Just tragic.
All right. Kurt Wagner is coming up. Do you
Good.
Watch a lot of TV?
Do I? Mm-hmm. I basically now I watch Ray Donovan and Law and Order reruns. This is my TV. I used to be the TV critic for this
I
newspaper.
I know you did.
So that's like a way, it's sort of like, yes, if you used to be an alcoholic, try to wean yourself from this. Yeah, I'm going to tell Kurt that that's all I watch on TV. And someone goes, oh, man, you got to watch Breaking Bad. And I'm going, oh, my God.
You haven't seen Breaking Bad.
I don't have, the problem being, I'll binge watch anything, but 5 seasons, I don't know when I'm going to find the time unless I'm waiting for a blizzard. I know it's not coming now, but maybe
in
December.
It's gonna be a while.
I'm waiting for a blizzard. Breaking Bad is going to be my binge watch. I did binge watch. I like Scandal, but basically Ray Donovan.
What is Ray Donovan?
Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Donovan, Showtime. Liev Schreiber plays a fixer in Los Angeles who has my worst day ever. Is like Ray Donovan's normal day. His father is totally insane. They're all scammers. They're all crazy. His father is played by John Voight, and it is the great role given, even Midnight Cowboy, it is the great role of John Voight's life. He is unbelievable. But those are my two things. I've watched some Law & Orders, I don't know, 30, 40 times. And I go, wow, I wonder what happened here.
I don't understand.
Kurt, this is, I'm telling you, Kurt Wagner's here, an old friend of mine from the paper, and this is what I watch, Kurt. I watch Ray Donovan and Law & Order reruns. That's all my TV watching.
Well, Law & Order you can catch pretty much anywhere, anytime.
Yes, anywhere, anytime,
any channel,
in any language.
In any language.
Exactly. I'm trying to teach myself Spanish by watching Law & Order reruns because I've seen them so often. I go, oh, look, Lenny Briscoe's telling the guy to go away. Yeah.
But Ray Donovan, I don't watch that regularly, but it's pretty intense. It's really good. It's a little too dark. I don't know. It just... Yeah.
It suits that. You know what? It suits my life. So.
Well, you know, and TV. I love TV. We finally broke down and got a big screen TV. I think it's a 70-incher.
I don't know.
I have TV envy.
I do. I love it, but I don't have time to watch it anymore. And when I binge something, someone else has the good TV, so I'm on my iPad watching it, like Orange is the New Black. I got that done in. I don't know how many seasons there were. There were four.
I think they're on their fourth.
All right, whatever it is, I watched in less than 2 weeks. Yeah. I watched everything. And that's a show I love. Breaking Bad is something, you know, when the blizzard comes. But
oh,
five
yeah, that's
seasons,
my next binge watch thing. I know it's going to be rough.
And when
rough.
You think about watching five seasons of Breaking Bad, I don't know. You could do the experiment of what it turns you into at the end of it. Because it's intense, man.
Well, Breaking Bad's intense, too, and it's dark. But what I like about
that's
Breaking
what I
Bad
mean.
Is there's so much... funny in there.
Absolutely.
Like dark humor in there, and I didn't find that in Ray Donovan.
One of the things that's always, we haven't talked about this, Kurt, but as a former TV critic for this paper, in the days when cable was literally just starting, I now find that there are so many good options out there that it's tough to watch everything, isn't it?
Oh, it's impossible.
Much tougher than it used to be.
It's not possible. Every platform, it seems like, has shows. I mean, PlayStation has a show.
Right.
And probably will be doing more shows soon.
Well,
Netflix
Amazon,
is rolling out something new every day, practically.
Well, and Amazon is now filming here a show called Patriot.
Yeah.
Which one of the stars is our old buddy Tony Fitzpatrick.
Oh, I didn't even know that. We should have Tony on.
He plays a like prison guard.
Oh, he,
such
he's...
Such typecasting, yeah.
He would scare me if I was a prisoner.
It's either a choice between, with Tony Fitzpatrick, what roles can you play? Well, I could either play a prisoner or a prison guard. That's it.
But
I'm
see,
limited.
That's the dynamic of Tony. He can go from one end of the spectrum
yes,
to the other.
Yes, he can.
Absolutely.
Yes, he can.
All right, well, Kurt Wagner is here. You got stuck in Lala traffic?
Well, I don't know what it was. There's construction on both sides of Grand, so I was on Grand for like 20 minutes. It takes me 20 minutes to drive down here from up north.
Right, and you were stuck for 20 minutes yesterday.
I listened to your whole last segment on Grand and the song and everything.
Did you hear him? Isn't that kid something? Yeah. Wow.
Well, thank you. You were watching on the WGN
Well,
app.
No, I mean I was listening.
Oh, you were listening, yes, the WGN app. You know, Anna Balaval was in yesterday. Her parents were listening on the internet from Puerto Rico. It was like, that was so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, WGN spans the globe for sure. Kurt Wagner is here, TVshowpatrol.com. I was thinking yesterday Mr. Pierogi was late because of traffic, too. So, I mean, it's a crazy town right now, this weekend especially. And we're going to talk more TV when we come back. Kurt Wagner, Rick Hogan, in for Bill Leff. It's
yes,
just musical
we
chairs
the TV,
today.
TV critic generation.
Yes. And Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Wendy Snyder here along with Rick Hogan. And that's, in fact, a true thing that you mentioned, which I forgot about. You've been writing and for the Tribune forever. How many years have you been working with the Tribune?
Too many.
All right. And you were the TV critic.
Yeah, that was the first job I had here when I came over from the Sun Times. And it was like, wow. What is this thing called HBO? I'm not kidding, Kurt. I'm not kidding. Wow, what is this thing all about? Yeah, I mean, it was just when cable was starting to
TV
punctuate
changed,
the lives of viewers. And it was the great thing about it was easy then. I literally reviewed every show. I mean, every show that was on.
Right.
And it was 400 stories a year, but it was not as difficult as it has to be now.
And Kurt Wagner in the studio with us, who's picking up the slack, where picking up after where you
following
where
in
you
the
started,
and
yes.
definitely not
following in the show. Tiny footsteps. Yes.
But now, Kurt, you weren't here last week because you were on. Were you on a junket looking at the new fall shows? And
no,
stuff?
I was at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, at the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
All right, but
so,
how do you keep up?
Work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A little bit.
But how do you keep up with all these shows?
You don't. I mean, I try to keep up with knowing that they exist and knowing what they're about, but you can't possibly.
But what you'll probably, I mean, it's probably like going to a restaurant and saying, okay, give me a taste of the steak dining, give me a taste of the spaghetti thing, and then you say, wow, that's really good. I may invest some more time in that.
Right.
Basically, right?
Right. I mean, I try to watch everything that I get to see before it airs, like a screener, but you just couldn't watch every show like regularly. And I know that that's a knock a lot of times on, I've seen people, you know, people have said to me and to other critics, you know, well, you don't watch the show every week, so you have no idea if it got better or anything like that. And a lot of times critics will check back in, like I did that. I've done that with some shows because people have said, oh, it's turned out to be really great. The first three episodes were horrible.
Right.
But even if that's the case, I mean, you'd have to watch TV all the time. You wouldn't have time to write about TV.
Absolutely.
Or think about it, too. I mean, that's another aspect of this whole thing.
What'd you pick up from Comic-Con that you can share with us?
Well, there were a lot of surprise reveals. Like, Rihanna's going to be in the final season of Bates Motel, which Bates Motel is the sort of pre-story of the Psycho story.
Yeah.
And it's a really good series. It's amazing series and scary and all that stuff. But now it's reaching the point in next season, which they also announced will be the final season, that it gets to the Psycho point. And so Rihanna's playing
the Janet Leigh shower scene.
Yeah, Marion Crane. She's playing the Marion Crane character.
Oh, come on. That's great. That's a great idea.
And you know what? She'll be singing in the shower. That's where this will be
probably
different.
And you know, Bates Motel, it's a good show, but it doesn't have the buzz of a lot of other shows.
Yeah.
So that immediately put it sort of towards the top of the meter in the Comic-Con buzz.
Sure.
So that was a fun thing. Netflix talked about its new Luke Cage show, the Marvel series. It's another superhero, the Bulletproof Dude. And they released a trailer that shows him, like, bullet holes in his, like, all over his clothes and everything, and he's just like walking through it and knocking people over and doing whatever he's got to do, and it was all done to the ODB song Shimmy Shimmy Ya, which apparently is a big deal, but I did not know that.
Same here.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Same
it's like
here.
A foreign language.
Marvel Comics. What?
And then
they do a show about Superman or Batman.
The Walking Dead for you, Wendy.
Yes.
Season 7. They.
I watched the trailer.
The trailer. It shows King Ezekiel, played by Kerry Payton, and his pet tiger Shiva.
The tiger is really cool. You don't watch The Walking Dead either, right?
It's about zombies?
Yeah.
But it isn't.
See, I'm on top of things. That's very good. I'm on top of the business. Oh, yeah, the zombie show.
But that's why I didn't watch it, because I'm not really into zombies. And my younger son, Dylan, was 11 at the time, 12 at the time, and he said, Mom, you have got to watch this because it's... I said, I don't like zombies. He said, it's more about zombies. It's the way the world is going to be. There are more problems.
It's the meaning of zombies,
but
Mom.
No, it's the...
It's about zombie families.
The zombies are the least of the threat.
Right. It's about how humans react to situations and
it's more about relationships.
Care or don't care for each other in the face of...
Interesting.
In
it's
the
really
face
good.
Of,
yeah.
And, you know, there was a big death scene at the end of... Yeah.
They wouldn't reveal anything about that, of course.
No, but that was going around the internet, like, watch this trailer, and it may give you clues as to who was killed. A major character was killed at the end of last season at the hands of Lucille, which is a barbed wire-covered baseball bat. It was really horrific.
Of course, it wasn't the bat that did it. It was Negan, the killer, who swung the bat.
Is Negan a zombie?
Negan is... what's his name? His real name. It's not Harry Dean Stanton.
It's a three-name person. Though.
Yes.
And I can't think of it now.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
No, it wasn't him. He was, I can't think of his name.
I don't know
Dean
why I'm doing it. I talked to him.
Dean Richards.
No, Dean Richards is coming in after 12 noon. It's not him. He wouldn't hit you with a baseball bat covered in barbed wire.
Anyway,
well, only because Jeffrey he doesn't
Dean
have one.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He was in The Watchmen. He was the comedian. Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah. So I talked to Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Andrew Lincoln a little bit. I went to the press room for them. They had a press conference instead of a roundtable situation. But I talked to both of them a little bit afterward. And, you know, of course, they're not going to reveal anything.
Of course.
But they did.
Or they would get hit with a baseball bat.
But I asked Jeffrey Dean Morgan how it felt to be playing the character at the center of this whole brouhaha, of this whole thing that happened. Because there was a lot of bad reaction to the cliffhanger and stuff. Although it all seemed to be forgiven at the Comic-Con panel because everybody was cheering madly and wildly about it. But he said that, you know, it was weird and interesting and all that kind of stuff. But the biggest part was, you know, he talked a lot about how it's going to affect things moving forward, you know, without really saying anything about what's happening moving forward.
Well, somebody's life has changed completely,
right.
And the survivors are going to change because of that.
Right, but they had a lot to say, too, about just working in that situation with those actors and having to do that very weird, bizarre, scary scene that was even scary for the actors. You know, they didn't actually get hit or anything,
right.
but you know, just having to, you know, feeding off of that thing. I mean, I love talking to actors about how they get stuff from the other actors,
sure,
and everything.
Sure.
So that was very interesting. I mean, it's probably kind of nerdy for everybody else, TV nerdy for everybody else, but it was cool for me. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really good season. It sounds like it's going to be a really cool, intense coming up season.
I cannot wait. You have a minute left. What do you need more time to it? Are there things we should know? Because we could take a break, do some news, and let you wrap up.
Sure.
You want to do that?
Well, the other thing that I was excited about was BBC America's Dirk Gently. It's based on a book by, I'm not going to think of his name either. But anyway, it's coming up in October, and it's this sort of cosmic detective. He recognizes cosmic connections between things and people and everything, and it's just this weird, bizarre tale. And I am even more excited after sitting in their press room with some of the actors from it and the creators. And so that's something to watch out for in October on BBC America.
And what's the name of it again?
It's Dirk Gently. It's got a longer name, but that just remember Dirk Gently.
All right, and Gilmore Girls, everybody's...
Oh, yeah, Netflix announced that this week
at
TCA.
Crazy about this. I never watched one second of that.
November 25th, the Gilmore Girls revival movies. It's four 90-minute movies set to... each one themed after a season of the year. Spring, summer, winter, fall. And the Gilmore Girls, the whole series... previous series is on Netflix now for you to stream now if you want to catch up. But all the characters are back. All of Rory's boyfriends, which was a big deal. Melissa McCarthy, I think, is actually going to be in one episode. She played a chef back before anyone knew who Melissa McCarthy was on that show. The fans of that thing are nutso about
that
show.
Are you a fan of that show?
I didn't watch it regularly, no. Yeah. It's kind of a lovey-dovey, touchy-feely...
And you're against that?
And I walk around and kick.
I want the zombies, man. Give me a bat with the spikes on it.
Well, it got all the press on the internet. I mean, that's anything anyone was talking about.
Netflix announced a ton of stuff at TCA yesterday or the day before, but that was sort of the big headline.
Well, thank you very much, Kurt Wagner. You can go to tvshowpatrol.com. You do a great job with that website. And are you going to Lala?
No.
We're all old.
I know. I went the first, when it started here, I think I went the first eight.
Wow.
Or so. Well, because
working,
of work.
Working
because
is
of work,
fun.
Yeah.
Working, yeah.
But it was fun.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, Kurt.
All right. See you later.
All right. We will continue. Rick Hogan, Wendy Snyder, Bill Left back on Monday at 720 WGN. I got to tell you, this has been a really memorable day for me. It's Wendy Snyder, and Rick Hogan is in for Bill Leff. And just such a weird thing is going on right now that I'm trying not to focus on. There was someone outside the Allstate Showcase studio.
There still is. There still is.
And he texted you.
Now.
And you called him.
He emailed me.
All right, what is going on here?
He wants to introduce me to a friend of his, and he wanted to do this some time ago, and it actually dropped through the cracks of my insane life because we had to move at the Tribune Tower from the 5th.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my God. I'm still missing stuff. I gave a bunch of books to the county jail and another bunch of books.
What a great idea.
And another book. I went down there when there's a photographer friend of mine named Chris Jacobs who started giving photo classes to some of the prisoners there, and it's so empowering for them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they don't have a huge canvas from which to draw from. They can't go, excuse me, guard, I want to go down and shoot the bean in Millennium Park.
Right. Lincoln Park Zoo, maybe?
They got to shoot what's there.
The and toilet.
You know, there's some flowers there in one area of the jail. But what I realized is I got nothing. And some of the sad thing about you, one guy I'm talking to, I go, what are you in here for? They're selling loose cigarettes. I go, you're in jail for selling Lucy's?
Strike three, was it?
Yeah. I go, what's your bail? $2,000. And you don't have anybody? Anybody. Because you're going to get off. You're not going to go to jail permanently for this at a trial.
Just in a holding position right now.
Yeah, waiting for court. You don't have anybody who could loan you $200 to get you
$200 or $2,000?
Bail's $2,000. You only have to put down 10%.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm like, oh, my God, what do you do all day? Well, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, this photo class. So I gave a bunch of books to the jail.
You're a great man, Rick
I'm not
Hogan.
A great man. I just, you know, we're all, my theory about life is we're all in this together, and most of us don't get to see some of, you know, look at Michigan Avenue. You know, talking to kids at Lollapalooza who've got suites at the Intercontinental, man.
That astounds me when I think about it. I like to think I'm a cool parent, but I'm still a parent, and I cannot justify, first of all, would not let my kids stay down if he went to Lollapalooza. He's only 17. I have a 13-year-old, too. I would drop them off, and I might let them take the train home, but chances are I would pick them up as well.
But I, you know,
hotels, how old were these kids?
Well, 17-ish, 17. I have a hard time, Wendy, telling the difference between, like, I can tell a 12. I know a 12-year-old, but you give me 16 to 20, and I miss every single time. But, Kevin, you know, it's an indulgent age. I mean, these kids, many of the kids going to Lollapalooza did not save up for the hundreds of dollars or whatever it costs. And, you know, Dad, Billy and Henry and I want to stay downtown in Chicago to be safe. It's just look at the map. It's just 6 blocks. Yeah.
I would fall for that. If a kid put that forth that much effort, made a little PowerPoint presentation saying, okay, here's where Lala is, here's where we'd be staying, I'd be like, all right, whatever.
Here's the phone number of Cousin Billy.
Right.
Cousin Joe.
Kevin, you are going to Lollapalooza tonight. Kevin Richter, our producer. This isn't your first year going.
No, I used to go actually back when I went to the first one in Chicago, and then I went to the one when it was back at what is now the first Midwest Bank Amphitheater. It used to be Tweeter. So, yeah, I've been a few times.
Or the World Music Theater.
It changes every few
years. Have you ever gone all 3 days? It was only 3 days.
No.
Never.
That's just a lot.
That's a little much, too.
My hardcore fan, Lisa, is my age, and she goes every single day. She's a writer for Last Man Standing with Tim Allen, Lisa Nelson. And she comes home from L.A. to go to Lala the whole weekend.
Wow.
Doesn't stay the whole time. But, Kevin, you and I were talking about that. That is a commitment to stay the whole day.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, 4 days this year, too, is just to
me,
insane. Yeah.
Even one day.
It takes a lot out of you. You're on your feet, you're moving around, and there's a lot of people.
Well, one of the things is, if you're a real music fan and you're going to see specific acts at specific times and you want a good place, I don't know if there's seats, you want to stand in a good place.
There are no seats, I'm imagining.
It's not like going to the Chicago Theater. There's got to be some kind of tell me.
There's a VIP
experience. There is a VIP.
I saw for the whole weekend, I think it's like $2,000 or something crazy like
what?
That. Yeah. Still available.
Wow. Yeah. Count me in. Count me in. It doesn't really mystify me. I mean, there are all sorts of tastes of human beings that do sometimes mystify me. But it's a lot of work, it seems to me.
All right. And Malia Obama, it was mentioned earlier in the show that I think Ryan Burrow was saying
she went
town.
To the Hyde Park Walgreens. That's what I remember.
Yeah. So I don't know if she's been found yet, but she is allegedly attending Lollapalooza. be nice to her, people, although you won't get any close.
You won't get close. Yeah, yeah, man. She's the daughter of the President of the United States. It's not like she's jumping in a puddle or something.
Well...
Well, but she's not
guards
like she's jumping.
Just stand around me while I jump
in
this puddle.
Wait, stay here. Yeah, I think she may not be doing that.
But I don't really want my kids to go. Imagine being the president where, you know, he gets up there to speak at the Democratic National Convention. And there are so many people that, you know, blame him for everything. And yet he still goes up there with a smile on his face. There are so many people that are bothered by him. Imagine him letting his daughter go to Lollapalooza. I wouldn't let her.
I think the security is really good.
Still,
I think,
though.
Yeah.
What if people yell things at her?
Well, but you know what? Nobody wants their kid. I don't care if you're the President of the United States or a busboy at the Billy Goat. Nobody wants their kids. Nobody wants to disappoint their kids. You know that as well as anybody.
I know.
As well as anybody.
Yeah, but Lollapalooza, I guess she's going away to college next year. Oh, no, she's doing a gap year. She's doing a gap year, but she's old enough, so, you know, she's going to be on her own.
And look, maybe the child of a sitting president of the United States would not be mature. These kids have seen and experienced more things than any kid at Lollapalooza.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a maturity level there that I think will get them through.
Did you see Chelsea Clinton speaking last night?
I did.
Can we take a quick break and talk about her?
Certainly.
All right. It's Rick Kogan in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. All right. I wanted to talk really briefly about Chelsea Clinton and her speech last night introducing her mother. But can we talk to Susie first, Rick Kogan?
We can talk to anybody first. It's your show, Wendy.
Susie, how are you?
Hi. Oh, good, Wendy. Love your show. You know that. I've called many times. But one of the festivals, I know you're amazed at what's going on right now with Lollapalooza, but I've always been amazed, not at Coachella, but at Burning Man.
Oh, yeah.
Rick, you Burning know about Man, Burning
I,
Man?
Oh, yeah. I
mean, my son has gone several times with my nephew. They're out in California. They're writers. And, you know, but the thing about it is it costs a fortune to go, and they check you before you come in. You have to have certain requirements like water, a huge supply of water. They don't let you in.
Because it's in the desert. And I mean, that's, yeah.
How is this fun, you guys?
I mean, it's crazy to me. And they have, you know, and they put on these light shows, and they have all kinds of art installations. And there is music as well. You know, there's groups that come, and they come in bands, and it's the whole thing, and it's a commitment. I mean, you stay as long as you want, but I think they stay about 4 or 5 days at least.
Yeah, it's a very longer. it's a kind of communal kind of thing, like-minded people. It's art driven. I mean, that is no
art
question
driven.
About it. Art driven, which is not a bad thing, but it's in the middle of the desert too, which is, you know, and you can you know, you have tents, you can stay there. It's kind of like it's a little rougher than Lollapalooza. It's a little more.
Oh, no question. It's not for the, you know,
it's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the spoiled college kids. I'll tell you that.
No, because there's no room at the Hotel Intercontinental.
That's right. They're booked. They're
Susie,
sold out.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
thank
Susie.
You so much. All right, so
Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah, you know, I kind of felt bad for Chelsea Clinton because she has been poked fun of for a long time.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
When Bill Clinton was president, she's turned into a beautiful woman,
poised
woman and mother.
Mother of two.
And it was warm and fuzzy. She's not a great orator like her father is. And
see, that's one of the problems when you start mixing with that Democratic orator crowd, you're not going to come out on top.
No.
I mean, you have two of the great political orators, certainly of my life, and I would argue that George Washington couldn't get up and give a speech like
right.
Bill Clinton. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That maybe so of all time, and you're going to pale by comparison. But given all the pressure she was under doing that, I thought she was poised and lovely and sincere,
and gave Hillary a human side.
Yep. I'll tell you one thing. One thing I thought of, though, I'm thinking, okay, Hillary's coming out after that speech. I'm not assuming, but to my mind, she had to have read that speech before, because were I Hillary Clinton and came out after hearing that, I'd be blubbering.
I was blubbering.
Yeah.
I was crying.
It was so emotional and so It's what you would love to hear from your child.
I know. I hope someday they have nice things to say about me. And I do leave notes all the time. I am a woman of post-it notes, like, oh, enjoy your breakfast or whatever. Take your healthy Trinity. And then on everybody's birthday in my house, they wake up to, it's not very exciting, but I write bubble letters, happy birthday in their name. And when they walk down, it's there. On everybody's birthday, I do it every year because I'm not there when they wake up.
Yeah, that's sweet. And that's what Hillary did, too. And I think the other thing to realize with Chelsea getting up there is the baggage that, you know, it's the unspoken thing going on between the Clintons that everybody in the world is aware of.
And doesn't understand.
Very aware of. It's one, you know, you wish someone like Charles Dickens were around to write about this family. Because Chelsea lived through it too,
absolutely,
ladies and gentlemen. This was not just, you know, your normal working class couple from Blue Island. This is Bill and Hillary Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
Scandal
and
Central.
Others. And how they got through that when Hillary, some of it, when Hillary was at an age when she had to be a part of the conversation.
Chelsea, yes.
Chelsea, I mean.
And I, you know, I feel bad that she, you know, everyone's comparing her to Ivanka Trump, who did a great job. But one, you know, Chelsea's not used to speaking in front of people. I'm sure Ivanka is, and she did
a great
job.
She's a businesswoman, yeah.
But it's not all about flash. It's about what people are saying. So just choose wisely.
You know, one of the things that always I fall prey to it too is we don't, ladies and gentlemen, always have to compare.
Everybody compares everybody to everything.
It's unbelievable. Was Obama better? Was Obama a better speaker than Bill Clinton? It's to take these things viscerally without putting any more baggage on. Was Chelsea Clinton as good as Meryl Streep would have been? Who cares? You know what I mean, Wendy? Who cares? And your reaction at the very end of these things, as you're listening, you're not. I don't think you're taking it in viscerally. You're not immediately every instant comparing. Well, Michelle Obama would have said, right, pronounce this differently. But then at the very end, when it's over, you'll turn to somebody and go, did you think she was as good as Michelle Obama? Did you think she was as good as? Forget it. Stop comparing.
See, this is where the wisdom comes in, Rick Hogan, because that is a beautiful thing to remember. Stop comparing. That's why people are so judgy on Facebook and social media and even our texts, because they're comparing people to someone else. Just let people stand on their own merit.
Yeah. And I think one of the comparison things, it's a defensive kind of, that's a friendly guy, that's a defensive kind of mechanism too, where you are unwilling to trust your own judgment. You're unwilling to say that was great, or that was horrible, or that was so-so, because by comparing it to someone, now you're part of a bigger conversation.
You are a wise sage. Do
no,
you know
I'm
that?
Not. I'm just a blabbermouth.
You're not. I think, I don't know if the Wintrust Business Lunch is ready to start, but I would like to talk to the person who is hosting it. Are they down here? I think we have some news to report.
I would host it, but I can't even balance a checkbook.
There is no need to balance a checkbook anymore.
These people will tell me, oh, you're right.
You have an app, don't you?
What do you mean?
Your bank, your online banking, it tells you what your balance is at any given moment.
You know, I still do. And this is how old-fashioned I am. I don't often have to do it, but I like to go in the bank. I like to, if someone sends me a check for some drug deal that I've orchestrated, I still like to go in the bank and talk to it. Now the bank on Michigan Avenue that I have, they've put in these kind of almost robotic kind of, not robots, but robotic kind of things that take many of the duties of the teller away.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it called an ATM?
No, it's different. It's like ATM on steroids.
Really? All right, because you like going into the bank because that's old school. That's why you like it.
My bank used to be. The other reason is, even when ATMs first started, I didn't trust them. I thought, they're gonna rip me off, man. It'd be like asking some guy on the street to like give me change for 100.
Right.
You knew you were not gonna get 520s. So I didn't trust these things, and I still don't trust that my checks are getting into my account.
I know it is pretty weird, but everything is. You got a picture of everything. You can take a picture of a check to deposit.
Yeah, but I'm
old school.
I'm bad at a camera, so I don't want to take pictures of checks.
I will tell you that to this day, I still call it a cash machine, and my kids go, what is that?
That's what it was called. Of course it was.
A cash machine, because it was a machine that dispensed cash.
And it was one of the great novelties. I mean, that if I knew that a cash machine would eventually turn into this internet world in which we live, I would have gone around the city like destroying them with a bat with spikes coming out of it, like the zombies do. If I knew what it was going to eventually lead to, where we don't talk to each other. That's why I think people love listening to the radio, because it's kind of, it's human.
That's old school too.
It's human contact. I know it is, but it's human contact. And if there's a way to get it new school, like by an app, or someone can listen in Puerto Rico,
right?
That's fine, because it's conversation. It's not 140 characters and a couple little stupid smiling faces. I mean, I like these emoji things when I'm communicating with my 11, now 12-year-old daughter. But generally,
for real adults?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sitting in for Bill. Dean Richards will be in the second half. And we have someone we'd like to say hello to next.
Wow.
Thank you. Hang on.
Wow.
Don't blow it, Rick Hogan.
He looks 10 years younger, whoever he is. I don't even recognize him. Who is this?
I will find out after the break. Rick, thanks so much for sitting in.
Oh, Wendy, it was really fun. It's always fun.
720 WGN. Great job, Kim. Thank you very much. It was nice to hear Steve Bertrand back, and it's nice to have Dean Richards back in the studio.
I wish he would have closed the back of his gown, though. That was a little disturbing. I like Steve and everything. I've known him, for like 25 years or something. I do not need to see that side of Steve Bertrand.
I liked it.
I don't need to see that side of any of my coworkers. That's why I don't go to the gym here in the building. Well, that's why I don't go to any gym. But
you and I go to the same gym, then.
But in terms of this building, when they first opened the health club on the lower level of Casa del Tribune, they said, do you want to join? I said, no, I don't want to run into anybody I work with naked downstairs. And well, I don't want them to see me naked.
Are there showers down there, Kevin?
Yes.
Do you use them?
Yes.
Do you run into coworkers down there?
I've seen Todd down, not in the showers, but on the gym floor and stuff. So it's a little weird.
Nope. Ew.
Yeah, it's too
worse
personal.
Than your family seeing you naked.
That's too personal. I don't want that. So if somebody could get Steve a robe.
Can I tell you about those robes? I know. Why do they open in the... Why are you told to put it open in the back?
Because when you're laying on the table having a surgical procedure, they can more easily remove the parts of it where they're working on you. Whereas if you put it on like normally like a robe, you're laying on the robe and they have to move your whole body.
I guess. Because I always put it on with the front open. And they say, no, it's the wrong way. I said, no, it's intentional.
But that's why they invite you back to the hospital so often. Wendy, can you come over? I know nothing's wrong, but... Can you just come on over? When I've had surgical procedures, I put one on the normal, like the robe way, like you'd wear a robe.
Okay.
And then I put one on the front the way they want.
You're double covered?
I'm double covered. So, but then,
how do they get to you?
Well, before they take me in, I take the back one off and then lay down.
God.
Because you have to get up. They want to weigh you. They want to... come over here for a second, walk over there, and I don't want nobody...
You can hold it closed in the back, plus they have the three ties.
Oh, yeah.
The neckline, the waist, and the bottom.
I don't need to see that on Facebook. Dean Richards was at the hospital today. Here's his butt.
Oh, my God. People, it would go viral.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Don't you want to go viral?
No, I don't want that going viral. Do not. We don't need that going viral.
I like being in the hospital. It's the only time I can relax.
Well,
because you got people waiting on you.
Yeah, you do have that.
You get Jello.
Very true. Very true. You get all that. Sometimes they give you things to relax also.
Yeah, that's nice. I like pressing the button. I've had a lot of surgeries and two babies.
What? I was going to ask what I had. I just had a knee cartilage thing, minor, not like...
Like arthroscope?
Arthroscopic surgery on my knee. So that was a hospital thing most recently for me. But I also had my thyroid removed several years ago. I had a little cancer scare.
I remember that.
Yeah, so that turned out okay. And I can keep my iPhone in where they made the... It's very handy now. I keep my keys in there, everything.
Thank God, because now you don't have to wear that fanny pack anymore.
Right. Right.
Have you seen any fanny packs at Lollapalooza? Are those, because I'm seeing them at these hip stores, and who, besides my sister, uses a fanny pack?
I think I did see people with fanny packs yesterday.
They make sense, but they're not very stylish.
And 90% of the people who are at Lollapalooza are literally between the ages of 18 to 24. Oh, don't worry. Your kids are in very good hands when they're down there. They're not doing anything wrong, believe me. But the
you were out there all day yesterday sweating.
I could not have been a more grumpy old man by the, like, I was out there for 15 hours yesterday. So by the end of when I was leaving, I was doing live reports on TV all day and part of the evening. So when I was leaving, I could not have been any crankier.
I heard you on with Cochran this morning, and you finally broke down and actually had to say something to someone.
Some kids were going to, a kid was going to get, like, seriously hurt. They were, some kid was clearly under the influence of something. Clearly, she could barely walk. She was trying to walk down some stairs. Had four friends with her. She was the fifth one. They're all busy looking at their phones and texting and like that. While the friend could barely get down the stairs because she was so out of it. And also she was blocking the stairs, so I couldn't walk
okay,
past.
Okay, now the truth comes
so
out.
So I couldn't walk past her. So I said, why don't you, hey, can you guys help your friend? She's about to fall down these stairs. And they just look at me like, yeah, old man. Yeah. Okay, sir. Sorry we're delaying you, sir, they say sort of sarcastically. And I said, it's not that I'm being delayed, even though I am. It's not that I'm being delayed. Your friend is going to fall down these stairs. Okay, so they...
Did they help her?
Begrudgingly put their phones away for a second to help. And still, the friend could barely walk down the stairs.
And that friend, I'm telling you right now, is not going to think that she had a good time at Lollapalooza. Or is somebody going to say, oh, we had a riot, remember?
Yeah,
no.
Remember how wasted you were? Remember that old man on the stairs?
The cranky one who said to take care of you.
The cranky old man. I think it might have been Tom Skilling. Or Billy Joel. I think Billy Joel was in the stairs.
See, now that's going to make Billy Joel look cooler because some young kid is going to go, I can't believe it, but Billy Joel was at Lollapalooza. Right, like, right. Not performing.
Right. I think he saw the 1975.
All right. Well, I can't thank you enough for sitting in for Bill Leff. He's going to be back on Monday.
Always happy to be here.
Yeah, but you
always
such long hours that you put in, and you've got something going on tonight now, too.
But this is fun. This is not like work today. This is just like fun hanging out
with you.
I know,
but you could be napping.
A couple of hours. That's true. I'm not saying I won't be napping. I can't guarantee that I'm not going to catch a few Z's.
All right, well,
at some point between now and 3 o'clock. But this is fun, and what I'm doing tonight is also fun out at Ravinia.
I love Ravinia, although I live so far away from it. It's like even, I live in LaGrange. There's no quick way to get to Ravinia.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
But when I'm there, it is awesome.
Can you just take a couple of quick trains? I guess it wouldn't be a couple of quick trains, but from LaGrange, can't you take a train downtown?
I don't know how to do
the
public
metro
transportation.
I'm not that familiar with the trains from LaGrange to downtown, but obviously there must be. And then the metro lets you off literally right at the front door.
Oh, that's true. That does make
Ravinia,
it convenient.
So that way, at least it's easy and you're not in traffic and all that while you're trying to get there. But the thing tonight is, it's called Titanic Live. They're showing the movie Titanic. And who wouldn't want to see that for the 100th time?
I love that movie.
Isn't that so funny? That's completely the reaction I'm getting when I bring this up, that people absolutely love that movie. They set up these huge screens all over the park, and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra is there, and they play the soundtrack live.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be cool.
We saw Titanic. It came out over the holidays, I believe. And my mom had passed away the day after Thanksgiving, about 19 years ago. So we were all kind of saddened, obviously, for Christmas. And then New Year's came, and we're like, it feels terrible celebrating. So my sister, cousin, my husband, and I went to see Titanic on New Year's Eve. We went out for a steak dinner.
Oh, you went out for a real feel-good movie,
I know. Well,
too.
I know. We didn't know.
Yeah, we're all really sad right now. Let's go see 2,000 people get killed on a boat.
You know what? Keep with the theme. We were already feeling it. And, you know, we had had a couple of beers. I remember Jim walked out of the movie. He says, this is a really long movie. I can't make it through. I have to go to the bathroom. I said, no. This is, you can't miss anything. And then he comes back and he goes, what did I miss? And I said, you totally missed Kate Winslet with no shirt on. Oh. I'm like, you picked the worst spot of the movie to walk out
of. Posing. He had the posing in the car.
Yes. But I honestly, that movie
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Nearly 20 years later.
All right. Titanic, though, it touches everybody in a different way, but it was a great movie, and the music is sensational.
I've done this before. When you hear the Chicago Symphony or any orchestra play the music from a movie live, you get goosebumps. I get goosebumps, you know, listening to it. It's pretty amazing, so it's cool. The movie's going to be at 7. I host a pre-movie discussion that I know sounds so like nerdy, dopey.
That's
let's
what
talk,
you do.
Let's talk about Titanic with, I know you people are just want to drink wine on the lawn, but let's talk about movie. But it's really
what
fun.
What are your thoughts about Titanic? That's how you're going to say it
I'm
like
gonna
that.
I'm going to share a few thoughts on the movie. I have some interesting tidbits to share. But they set up this Twitter board in the park, and people can tweet questions that show up on the board. So I can say, oh, Wendy
wants to know.
Tweeted in
what time Kate
boxers
Winslet.
Or briefs.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good idea. So you can skip the questions that you don't that you're not interested in.
Yeah, but they're up on the board though, so everyone can see that you're skipping embarrassing questions. So you really sort of do have to take the questions that are coming in. But I'm encouraging people, WGN listeners, to tweet in like super embarrassing questions, mostly about Steve Cochran.
Right,
but if you've got embarrassing questions about Wendy or Bill, I'm happy to field those also. So we'll have some fun tonight, and we'll watch Titanic and listen to the CSO. It's so cool and couldn't be more different than what I did yesterday at Lollapalooza.
Really, you are going from one end to the other.
Right, neck brace.
He's Dean Richards in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. All right, Cubs fans, you got it. We got two. The Sox got two. The Cubs got two. Now what happens? Dean Richards in for Bill Leff. Isn't there a tiebreaker? Isn't there another
seems
game?
Like there should be.
And when did it change from the Crosstown Classic to the Crosstown Cup? And who won the Cup if it was a tie?
Wow.
These are the things rattling around in my head. Aren't you glad you're not me?
This is like being on Charlie Rose.
Yes, just like
I didn't
it.
Know there are going to be so many philosophical.
Kind of just rhetorical, but I want to mention something. You are going to Ravinia tonight to do a little Q&A.
Titanic
I guess
Titanic Live.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's another show that's going on, and the legendary Tom Jones is coming to town. House of Blues. And we have a pair of tickets to give away. We were trying to think of an easy way to do it. You know, Tom Jones trivia could be fun. The Welsh Wonder, yes, that was his nickname.
I would like to hear people sing like Tom Jones. Because you should really be a fan in order to win these tickets. And isn't he one of these artists that, like most anybody, can sort of parody?
Let's hear yours.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
My Delilah. I could do a whole medley.
Dean just won.
Yeah, here are the tickets.
She's a lady. Whoa. She's like that.
All right, we could do that. You want to do that later on today before we get out of here?
Whatever you want to do, Wendy.
I was going to make it easy, but not as entertaining. I like your way. You've been doing radio longer than
it's
I.
It's Friday. Wendy's like, it's Friday, and
we all need some entertainment. How about we'll do that in an hour, about 2:30.
This is my 15th co-host this week.
I know.
I just want to
really
get this week over with.
I do, and welcome Bill Leff back on Monday. That's what I want to do. But yeah, at 2:30, we'll do that. We'll just, right. Maybe we'll take, should we take like a... It just gets so complicated. We could take like the first 5 callers to go against each other, yeah. Or anyone who wants to.
Yeah, and we can be the ultimate judges.
See, I don't like to judge people.
I will be the ultimate judge. I love judging people.
Well, anyway, all right, stick around. So about an hour from now, we'll tell you what to do and how to win a pair of tickets to see the legendary performer Tom Jones. He was really an attractive guy. Still is.
How old is Tom Jones now, do you think?
I would guess 82. Why don't you look that up?
I'm looking it up right now.
Tom Jones is going to come to town October 3rd, House of Blues. You'll also get a certificate for the House of Blues restaurant and bar. Get tickets to see Tom Jones at the House of Blues at LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster.
Less than 82.
Is he really? I thought he was even older than 82. All right, well, Mick Jagger's 72.
Higher than Mick Jagger.
76.
Wendy's like, wait a minute, there's math involved?
76.
Well, he's 76.
There's math involved, and I got it right.
Yep.
Ding. 76 years old. He looks pretty good, Dean.
I think so, too. And he still sounds good. I know. I heard him perform not long ago. He still sounds great. And I'll bet that he's still doing all those gyrations that used to, you know, make the ladies go wild. They may be involuntary now, but possible that he doesn't even know he's doing the gyrations anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, what's... God, see, now he's not... Doesn't he look way older than Mick Jagger? Wouldn't you have guessed he was way older than Mick Jagger? Mick is up there, man.
I think I'm going to put him about... I don't know. I'm a terrible judge of age.
I am, too. I'm not good at it. I can't tell.
I'm not good, because they seem like sort of in the same...
They seem the same.
They do seem like
I mean,
same
Tom
person.
Jones seems the same now as he was 20 years ago. It's the same kind of thing. Spangly stuff. Not Elvis Spangly, but he's right. Going to be in some leather. He's going to be asking for women's panties.
I don't think does he specifically ask?
Well, he doesn't ask. All right, now's the time where you hit me with the granny panties. No, I think they just come.
it's much more dangerous now for him. I never even thought of that.
Suffocating.
You get a concussion now. Used to be back in the day, you get a little something lacy. Now, right now, it's like, you know, if they had a rain delay at Wrigley Field and they threw the tarp up on the stage.
Wow. There's still lacy stuff out there.
Okay.
When's the last time you bought panties?
It's been
a while?
A couple of days.
All right. Have you ever met Tom Jones?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I talked to
him on the phone, but never in person.
I think I would like to talk to him. People ask all the time, who would you still like to interview? It's the guys like that I still want to interview. It's the classics that I want to interview. And I've had a pretty good year with classics this year. I had Dick Van Dyke recently.
Yes.
I had Norman Lear recently. I had Carol Burnett recently. I probably should say I've interviewed all these people recently instead of I've had.
That sounds, right, that sounds...
Sounds a little icky.
Like a braggart.
But these are the ones that I love interviewing, the classics along the way.
Neil, you just saw Tom Jones?
No, it was in 2007 I saw them in Sarasota. The place was packed, and the ladies were still taking their clothes off back then and throwing them on stage. It was hysterical. I mean, and he's 71. I mean, he's in better shape than I am. I'm 52, but...
How would you describe the ladies who were throwing stuff at him? Were they his age? Were they...
They had a little younger. But it was a mixed crowd. It was unbelievable. The crowd was so diverse in age and everything. But I was down there visiting friends, and I don't know what the arena was, but it was darn near sold out. You know, so maybe 8,000, 9,000, 12,000 people maybe.
Let's get back to the stuff being thrown
anyway,
on the stage.
He sounded great, but didn't he have a TV show too?
He did.
In the 70s.
He did. It was actually, it was in the, I want to say the late 60s, maybe 67.
Like a talk show.
No.
A variety show?
It was a variety show.
Up and saying,
variety show.
Yeah. I vaguely remember it, you know, so that was, you know, so I was really young back then, so I don't know if I was allowed to watch that show or not, because it was after 9 o'clock, if I remember right.
Yeah, I don't remember the time that it was on, but it was... You know, it was very much.
I sort of remember that.
Like, the variety shows of the day. I mean,
like the Dinosaur Show, kind of.
It wasn't a talk show, really. It was more like.
It was at night, wasn't it? Prime time.
It was
9 o'clock. Well, that's right. It was after 9 o'clock.
That's what I remember, and I want to say it was right around the time that It's Not Unusual came out, which I think, if I'm going back into my DJ history correctly in my mind, which could be. That could be anywhere.
Yes.
That cupboard drawer hasn't been open in a while. But I want to say that it was about 1965, 66-ish, something like that.
Well, Neil, thank you so much for calling, and you can be part of trying to win tickets to see Tom Jones at the House of Blues coming up in October. We'll take a quick break.
I have to give Wendy some props here, just because when something comes up, you know, I listen to you guys every day, and when, you know, something comes up, Wendy has the information like that. You're able to look it up quickly.
I'm not in the mood today.
And find the information. I know. I'm just trying to. I can see. I'm trying to find it, trying to get
and
it.
And you can't get it?
No, well, I will eventually, but.
Oh, my God. Can we take a break first?
It's not unusual to be left.
Well, can I just ask what your search was?
Tom Jones?
All right. How about his TV series, 1969 to 71?
Get the heck out of here. Seriously?
God, will you learn how to use a computer? Here's what you Google, Tom Jones variety show. Tom Jones is going to take you all over the place.
I didn't think of that.
He's Dean Richards. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Dean Richards should have this as his theme song when he walks out. Because you've met a lot of famous people and you are famous yourself.
I have. I'm lucky. Tomorrow I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to interview Will Smith and Jared Leto.
Can I tell you, my 13-year-old son last night, Jared Leto's on the cover of Rolling Stone, and Dylan walked by the Rolling Stone, and he goes, Mom, that guy's beautiful. He is beautiful.
He is a beautiful man. That's very true.
He is nice looking. So
for your son, for being comfortable to say that.
Yeah, he was.
That's cool. And he's a really, like, super cool guy. I've interviewed him a couple of times before. I'm really looking forward to now, though, because I think this is the first time that we've talked to him since his Academy Award. He's in this crazy movie, Suicide Squad, that looks like it's awesome. I'll see it tomorrow night. And that's going to be talked to Robert Redford a couple of weeks ago. That was cool. On my list of the classics, my year of the classics interviews that we're having, we talked with Ellen DeGeneres lately. So yeah, I get to have these encounters. You guys too. You guys have.
I know. I still get nervous
coming
though.
In here all the time.
Do you get nervous? I still get nervous
a little bit.
Depends who it is, but
Dick Van Dyke and Robert Redford. I was. I don't usually, but I don't know. Like these guys, I respect them so much. I don't want to, you know, come off looking like. Remember when you
Chris
were
Farley.
In Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Butch? Remember you when you're in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance? You know, you want to like seem
that was excellent
and tell right. I want to have that. So, but it's. You know, it's a little weird. The last time that I was here co-hosting with you, we started talking about, I think we ran out of time, talking about brushes with celebrity, which is cool. So aside from my job part, where I'm interviewing these people all the time, I would like to get the ball rolling. And I know that a lot of you listening also, you bump into celebrities. You know, people are probably bumping into people because of Lollapalooza that's in town and a lot of big names that are floating around Chicago and with the TV shows and the movies that are made here.
Yep.
When Johnny Depp was making Public Enemy here, we had a lot of sightings. And when they were making Batman, the Batman and the Superman movies here in Chicago, we had all kinds of sightings. But my best non-job related sighting yet was I was either in New York or LA, I don't remember which, and I thought, I'm going to go to the gym. I know that seems like the most shocking part of the story, that I actually went to a gym. But I went to the gym. I said, I'm going to get a little workout in. I have a little time. So I go down to this hotel gym, and I'm in the locker room changing. And, you know, I don't know if this is the same in women's locker rooms. In men's locker rooms, there's always at least one guy who is just walking around flippity floppity,
naked as a jaybird,
just completely, you know, most people put a towel on.
Yeah.
Before you start walking around, you put a towel or something on. You just do.
Yeah.
This guy that I see in the locker room he's all over the place in more ways than one. And, you know, so I'm like trying to avert my eyes from him. At some point, I've got to walk by him to go to the gym. We're in the locker room, and I realize who it is. It's Cheech Marin of Cheech and Chong fame. to this day, the only naked celebrity that I've ever seen.
And he whipped out his joint.
And he...
It was already out.
Oh, that was a drug joke from the Cheech and Chong days.
What'd you say? What'd you do? Did you just kind of avert your eyes?
I used the universal man code, averted my eyes, and didn't say boo, even though, he was just, he's like one of these.
Hanging out.
One of these, it's almost always old guys in the locker room, too.
No, there are a lot of guys that sit in the sauna. I know from my husband, don't think I go in the men's locker room.
But, so she says.
But a lot of times, Jim says they sit, you know, in the sauna with, you know, no towel around the bottom part of you.
Right.
I mean, it's just for the courtesy of others. Women don't typically do that.
Yeah.
If anything, we'll let the top be unexposed or be exposed. I guess you just kind of wrap the towel around your waist.
Yeah, I can see when you're changing. Sometimes something has to drop while you're putting your pants on,
right.
Or you know something.
But at least face your locker. Don't sit on the leather couch where
right.
you get up and there's this sticky sound.
He practically had one foot on the bench and one foot on the floor. It was like that. Like he was proud of.
Should he have been?
Yeah, it was. I'm not gonna say it was.
I think we have your answer.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, so what we're looking for here is not necessarily your naked encounters with celebrities, but, you know, have you bumped into people and they turned out to be either it's like super cooler than you thought they were going to be, or they turned out to be kind of jerky to you, unless you're going to talk about Wendy or I and you've run
yes,
into us.
Yes, then you can't.
Like in the grocery store or something. Can I give you a reverse on this?
But
just
yeah.
real quick before we take a break. I'm in the grocery store. I'm at Jewel when they had the self-serve checkout lanes, which I miss, by the way.
I do,
Jewel.
Too.
I really liked when I could scan my own stuff.
I liked it.
I enjoyed it. I'm sorry they're taking
Why
them away.
Why did they take them away?
Probably because people were ripping them off somehow, I guess. But I do my whole groceries, and I might have had like a bottle of wine or some beer or something that required the clerk to come over and they had to prove that I would look at my ID or something like that. So something was wrong with the register. It wasn't working. There was a guy standing behind me. It was taking forever. I know it was taking forever. So I turned around to the guy. I said, sorry, something's wrong with the register. Oh, don't worry about it. No big deal. And then, like later in the day or the next day or something, I get on Twitter and that guy that was behind me going, standing behind Dean Richards in the Jewel, he doesn't know how to use the self-serve register.
You know what bothers me about that? The fact that you said, hey, dude, so sorry, this is taking a while. He's like, that's okay.
Right.
Meanwhile, he was plotting against you as to what to say.
And then he trashes me on Twitter after, it wasn't even my fault.
All right, that would bug me.
So in case I've been mean to somebody, that's not what we're looking for in this segment. We're looking for other people to trash, not Wendy or I.
Okay, that's good advice. Gracie, who did you meet?
Liza Minnelli.
This is going to be good.
In Colorado, I was at her concert, and I had the key code word to get in the back with her. So I was led into the back, had an entourage of people who thought they were going to come with me. And so I went down to the back, and I just was looking at her, and she's talking to a whole lot of people, and someone said, you must be tired. And the conversation got back to 12-step, and I said, well, and then Liza and I started to talk about what being in 12-step meant to each of us. And I had a conversation with Liza Minnelli about God.
Well, this is memorable.
It is. And I asked her, what is it like to go on stage? And what she told me was she stands at the edge of the stage before she goes on, and she spreads her arms all the way out, and she says, God, take me. I give myself to you, and I'll go on stage when you tell me to go. And that's how she prepares herself.
And then does this big booming voice come from above go, it's time, Liza, get on stage.
Life is a cabaret, Liza.
Only Liza hears it.
Is that wild? Well, at least she was nice to you.
She was very nice to me, and I saw her in Chicago twice, and I introduced her to people because by this time I was notable. People said, "Aren't you the one from Colorado?"
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's a great experience.
I'm the person to take to a concert because I'll get you in back. I got in back to see Lily Tomlin.
We should get her number, Dean, and go to concerts with Gracie.
I'm sending her phone number to the authorities. It sounds like we may have a stalker here.
Well, Lily Tomlin said if Edna is in the audience, come back and talk to me. So I went back and told the guard I was Edna.
You are good.
And I sat in the chair, and I waited for her to come out. And she came out, and she looked at me, and she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm not Edna, so I think you're wonderful, and I had to tell you."
And then you left?
No, then I stayed. And she said, "Are you by yourself?" And I said, "No, my girlfriend's out front." She didn't think I'd get this far back here. And she said, "Go get her." So I went and I got my girlfriend. And there we were, sitting with Lily Tomlin, talking like friends.
You should write a book, Gracie. Backstage with Gracie.
Thank you. I got it. Thank you.
Have a great weekend, and thank you for sharing that. Wow, two big ones.
Stay away from Ravinia tonight, though, Gracie.
Who's that up on stage next to Dean? It's not Edna. It's Gracie.
Is that his wife? What?
All right. Who have you run into, either good or bad? Because that was a lovely little story about Liza. Lily Tomlin seemed to be very nice to let some stranger just stay there, but to each his own, I guess. It's 720. It's WGN. We were talking, it's Dean Richards in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder. We were talking about our brushes with fame.
What, have you had one that really surprised you?
Yeah, I met Elvis Costello. I was smoking at the time. It was an outdoor venue. And I was working at a radio station. I was working at The Loop, I think. And we got little backstage passes.
Where Chicago rocks?
Yeah, baby. Pow. And... And I was backstage. I had a cigarette, again, outside. I think this might have been Poplar Creek when it was still around. So I had a chance to meet Elvis. I put my cigarette way behind me. Everybody was out there smoking.
Right.
I put my hand to shake his hand, and he goes, "Put that thing out." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Get that thing away from me." So I just kind of flicked it, you know, and I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm a big fan. I wanted to tell you that I named my cat after you, Declan McManus is your name, and I named my cat after you." And he goes, "Your cat? I could see if it was your kid. Your cat?
Right.
Thank you very much." And I'm like, duh. And then I met him years later, and he was awesome. I didn't bring up that story. Actually, I did. I told him about it.
Yeah.
So he signed his new book to your late cat, Declan.
That's nice.
So it did come full circle.
That's nice. And you know, anybody could have a bad day. Doesn't mean
that's true.
Doesn't mean that because you have a bad experience that they're a bad person. They just anybody could have a bad day.
Even you.
Most days are. I'm lucky when I have a good one.
Hi, Judy. Who did you run into?
Well, the first one I ran into was Sly Stallone. He made Fist in Dubuque right after Rocky. He was very, very hot at that time. And everything was in period costume, and so I was dressed as a secretary on the street and standing at sidewalk level, and he was up on a truck exhorting the people. And as I say, in period costumes, which meant button flies. And so being the mom, I said, "Sly, your buttons are undone." And he didn't say thank you or anything. He just said, "Well, what are you looking there for?" I'm just trying to be helpful.
That's kind of a funny little story, though.
He just tried to help him out.
Yeah, he was a delight, really. Very, very funny in all the scenes we were in.
So you were an extra in that movie, or did you have a leading role, Judy?
Yeah, no, no, just an extra. But there were a lot of us who did, and it was a really fun time. And then, of course, they made Field of Dreams here, and I spent many nice hours with James Earl Jones, who is the most laid-back, congenial person.
I hear he's really nice.
Very nice man.
He is.
Very nice man.
Very, very nice.
Until like the 1,000th person in one day walks up to him and asks him, "Will you say this is CNN?"
I was so
or Luke.
Yeah, no.
I am your father.
Luke, I am your father.
I am your father. I was very careful not to say that.
Thank you for sharing, Judy. Those are that's a nice story with Sly Stallone
and his fly. Sly's fly.
Stay tuned for the new book coming soon. Frank, who did you run into?
I was actually at O'Hare Airport and at the urinal.
Which is where you meet all your famous celebrities.
That's at the urinal.
I was there about 5 seconds by myself, and then all of a sudden, Scottie Pippen walks up next to me.
And?
So I'm about 6'3", and he's tall, but he wasn't that much taller than me, so I just said, "What's up, Scottie?" And he said, "Hey, dude." So we got done about the same time, walked over to the sink to wash our paws, and then as soon as we walked out of the bathroom, there's probably a 10-year-old kid that had watched him go into the bathroom, but as soon as we both exited the washroom, the kid had said, Scotty, can I please have your autograph? And to much of my disappointment, he said, "No, kid, I ain't got time for that crap."
Oh.
That stinks.
Oh.
So I looked at him and I said, "You can't give a little kid an autograph? What does it take?" Because I ain't got time for that. Okay.
Wow.
I take it he didn't tip the kid either. Isn't that the big story, how he left no tip when he was at a restaurant that was in a Sneedling?
Now, see, I thought this was going to be you tried to have a conversation with him at the urinal story, in which case I was going to agree 100%.
That's a little awkward.
That's completely violating the man code even saying hello to him at the urinal.
I would not make a good guy because I would talk to everybody next to me.
Oh yeah, you'd be kicked out of the club.
But I have.
You don't talk at the urinal. Nobody talks at the urinal.
All right.
I got one more run in.
All right, go, Frank.
I was at O'Hare again. I travel a lot, and I actually walked right past Eric Estrada, and it didn't even faze me. I just looked up at the last second, and I just caught him out of the corner of my eye, and we passed. He was going one way, I was going the other. Turned around, he was wearing all black. Black shirt, black jeans, and cowboy boots. So I turned around and I said, "Hey, Punch." And he turned around and he goes, "I hate when people do that." And I just
He does not hate when people do that.
That's what he was known for.
I got to say, I've run into plenty of ex-TV stars who, when we've had them on recently, more than not, they do not want to be remembered by the one thing that they are best known for, the thing that brought them. And you know who comes to my mind, only because he was on TV last week? Scott Baio. When we had him on the morning news 3-5 years ago, something like that, and we wanted to talk about Happy Days and Joni Loves Chachi,
right.
And he did not want to have any part of that.
He wouldn't be on your show if he wasn't on those
shows. If he wasn't Chachi,
shows.
Exactly right.
That's all right.
Exactly right.
Frank, thank you so much. That stinks.
Yeah, that's not right.
All right.
But also, don't talk to people at the urinal, Frank.
He didn't. Although
he did. He said, hey, dude.
Hey, Scotty.
Right.
Yeah, I would talk to everybody. Hey, what's for dinner tonight? Hi, Doc. How's it going?
Hey, going well. How are you?
Good. We only have about 30 seconds here. Who'd you run into? And I hope it was good.
Neil Armstrong.
Oh.
Well, that's cool.
And? Yeah. What are the deets?
Well, you know, you would think for a guy who had taken such a giant leap and done such great things for science and was very likely the first biological organism on a planet outside of our own, that he'd be a little haughty or whatever, but I was very pleasantly surprised by his humility. He was completely down to earth.
Where'd you run into him?
It was at a luncheon for the Society of NASA Flight Surgeons.
Ooh.
And he was an unannounced guest there. And he spoke, and he was funny, and like I say, down to earth. There wasn't any hint of conceit or anything like that.
Did you get that where he said down to earth?
Yeah, that was very good.
Clever. What was your conversation?
That was a little loony. I'm sorry.
Did you talk to him, Doc? What did you say to him?
Oh, very briefly. But everybody was swarming him, and I hear a lot of calls asking for autographs. Some pretty good stories. None of us there really bothered him for an autograph. It was just meeting him was out of this world.
I would think that that has to be moving to meet somebody like that. I'm very moved by history and historic moments. I clearly remember when he took that step off. And, you know, we all watched on television and flickering black and white TVs mostly to be able to meet that guy, as you say, the first guy to be a living organism on a planet. That's really cool. That's
very monumental.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't old enough. I'm a lot younger than you, apparently, but I wasn't old enough to actually remember that moment. It was in my lifetime, but I've always had a fascination with the last frontier and science and what the amazing technology and things we've done as humans. Just to be in the presence of a fellow who had accomplished that, I don't get awestruck easily, but I was.
Do you remember it from the MTV advertisement where they had him putting the flag on the moon? Wasn't that MTV?
The statue, yeah.
Yeah. Because you sound like you're...
Never really saw that.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Thank you for calling. And
that's cool.
I'm intrigued by this caller. I don't know if you know Henry, who worked at WGN-TV. Hi, Henry.
Hi. Hello. How's everything going?
Good.
Henry, where did you work at WGN-TV or when?
Dean, remember when you used to do community calendar voiceovers and I worked in traffic with Jane Hayden?
Oh, yeah. I do remember. Yeah. Henry. Wow, that was a long time. That's like over 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, I bet, right?
The good news I have for you, I left GN under good circumstances. I went to get my MBA, and I went on to do a lot of marketing projects for Comcast and for Cablevision other companies. So,
yeah, good for you.
In a good way, it was a good move.
All right, we only have 30 seconds here, probably less, but you have a James Earl Jones story?
Very quickly, Dean will remember this. There's two doors that go out from security at WGN-TV Bradley Place, and James Earl Jones was being led by Rick Felty, our creative services director, and he somehow got lost. Mr. Felty went through the door, and I happened to be in the lobby, I don't know, grabbing lunch. Mr. Jones literally just had this confused look on his face, and I just thought, oh, here's my chance. And I just said hello, and then I said, I think you need to go that way. And it was just those 30 seconds of, I don't know, a beautiful, accidental meeting that I said, yes, sir, just go right through this door. Let me click
so
you in.
So cool.
And I don't know, it was 30 seconds of, like, brush with fame.
Just the idea that I think you sent him to the Bozo studio. That makes it extra awesome.
Remember that long hallway of studios toward the newsroom.
That's right, exactly.
Well, thank you for calling, Henry.
Hey, Henry,
sharing
good to
that.
Hear your voice. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks so much.
Take care.
All right, quick break. We're coming back with news, and we've got more planned. It's Dean Richardson for Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill Leff is coming back on Monday, but until then, Dean Richards is sitting in his chair, and I thank you for that, Dean.
I've been waiting for the story to change so we can hear Veronica or whoever the news person is jump in. What was it that you said, Veronica, again?
Ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes. And so since nothing's changed, then,
I can't wait for something to happen.
We're always ready.
Because we were talking about naked celebrities earlier, and I want you in that conversation.
Well, if it's Andy Garcia, okay.
Have you seen him naked?
No, he doesn't really do that, does he? He seems to be pretty classy.
Well, he has to get naked sometime.
Well, yeah.
I wish I was there when he was.
Me too. He's always been my favorite.
Yeah, I'll fight you for him.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
I'll make a couple of calls for both of you.
Right.
Oh, thanks. Good to know. All right. I try really hard to be a good mom, and sometimes things fall through the cracks. Like I was, my 17-year-old son's going to be a senior in high school, and Michael says to me, hey, do you know when my senior portraits are? And I said, well, how would I know? And he said, don't you get emails from the school? And I said, well, yeah, but I'm assuming you do too. So I looked it up, and the senior portraits were last week. I can't keep up with this stuff. And now he's supposed to be applying for colleges, but he's only going to be a senior in high school. Right. It happens this early?
Oh, yeah. I remember that from when I was in high school, how ridiculously early it starts. And well, I would guess that the pressure is even 10 times greater than it was from 100 years ago when I was in high school. But, you know, this ties in. You know, one of the movies opening today is Bad Moms.
Yes.
And these moms who feel such pressure to, you know, over deliver for their children. They're so stressed. They're so busy. There's probably pressure that you notice all the time with other moms of you got to keep up with the other moms. You got to be doing what the other moms are doing.
I try.
That's kind of what that movie is about. But I think that's why this movie is going to do so well, because that's pretty relatable, I would think.
And, you know, this is my first one doing it, so by the time my second one gets to it, I will have kind of known how to go through the process. But there's a website that I go to all the time to help me out, and it's called grownandflown.com. And Lisa Heffernan is on the line with us, a New York Times bestselling author, mom, wife, friend, one of the co-founders of Grown and Flown. And honestly, Lisa Heffernan, you are my savior.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Wendy. That's awfully nice to hear.
Don't you think, Lisa, that there's, unbelievable pressure on mothers like there never has been before to deliver and be the perfect moms for their kids?
Absolutely. And where people thought that pressure might have been big around, making baby food or getting into a nursery school, Wendy's about to face the most pressure there is on parents, and that's getting ready for college. Sorry, Wendy. I'm here for you. I promise.
All right. Well, I know that I still have a senior year, and we'll have you on again in a little bit to talk about, the application process. I did get an email from the counseling staff at his high school saying we're meeting with the parents on this date and the kids the next day. So hopefully guidance counselors are helping us along a little bit more than they did with our parents. But other people are going away to school for the first time. And I came across this Going to College, 7 Big Talks to Have Before They Leave. And I thought parents should hear these ideas that you have come up with to share with them, because I want all my birdies in the nest. I can't even imagine my kid is going away to school someday.
It's a tough thing to imagine, but parents who are facing this down, it'll be coming in August, and August starts next week.
I know.
Many parents are on the doorstep of that. One of the things we talk about is it's very easy the summer before your kid goes to college, and even the spring, the next spring, the one you're facing, the spring before your kid goes to college, to just start focusing on practical issues, the minutiae, teaching them to do laundry and dorm shopping and packing and, the logistics. But there's some big, important life lessons and moments that are a lot more important than whether they know how to sort darks from lights in the laundry. And that's what we talked about.
All right. Why don't you give some of those tips to the parents that are just about ready to send their kids away for the first time?
Sure. One of them is really to talk to your kid about the magnitude of what's happening. This is not like going from 10th grade to 11th grade or 11th grade to 12th grade. This is, one of the big moments in life. And I think we need to have our children kind of understand it and appreciate their good fortune. The option to not going to college is going to work. So they're getting to have 2 years or 4 years, looking at themselves, bettering themselves. They'll come out, they'll get a better job than they might have had. So this is a real luxury that our kids are having. And I think it's really important that we talk to them about that and they appreciate it. It's also a chance to talk about taking advantage of what a college offers. It's really easy to go to college and play 4 years of video games, have too much to drink, and shop online. And I think
I only made it a semester when I did that. That's why I quit ISU before they kicked me out.
There you go. Well, this is a chance to take advantage of, speakers and going to concerts and athletic events and really taking some courses where you can learn things. And I think parents, if they have expectations around what their children are going to do in college, it's time to talk about those expectations. There are also two big issues that are plaguing kids in college right now that we're seeing a lot of in the news. One is mental health and the other is sexual misconduct or sexual assault. Whether you have a female or a male child, you must discuss sexual assault with them. They will have it discussed with them on campus, but this is a parent's role to discuss it. You need to talk to them about what consent is, whether they're a male or a female. You need to talk to them about what happens if there's a sexual assault. Where do you turn? Who do you talk to? What are the logistics? What are the laws? And you also need to teach them, because it may not be them, but they may be the friend. So if a girl gets sexually assaulted, she may turn to her best girlfriend. And when you don't have any idea of what to do, you're not really the friend that girl needs. So parents really need to talk through this. It can be a really difficult discussion. It can be very uncomfortable, but it's important. Same thing with mental health. Depression, stress, and anxiety are big problems on college campuses. And kids need to know what the signs are and where you turn for help.
I have to admit, you know, I make jokes that I drank, and that's why I only made it one semester. I truly was not ready to cut the apron strings. My sister, older sister, and older brother went to college, and that was just what we did. Wendy, you're going to college. And I wasn't ready. I just, I was the one who always cried at slumber parties. My cousins would have to take me home at 2 a.m. I wasn't ready. And mental health is something, it's okay not to be ready, but you have to know where to turn, who to talk to. And some of those feelings are normal, aren't they, Lisa?
Absolutely. Homesickness is the most normal thing in the world. And you should even expect it of your freshmen. And if they don't have it, well, all the better. But, you know, one thing that's different now is our kids can stay in closer communication with us. So it's important to give them the message, you know, you're on your own and this is your experience and your college experience and I want you to learn how to manage your life. But I am absolutely here. These kids are 17 and 18 years old. They're very young and many of them are away from home for the first time. So I think it's actually easier for kids than when we went to college in the sense that they can text us, they can have a quick little FaceTime. You can be there for them in a way that our parents were not really able to be there for us and help them through that period of homesickness.
I wonder if kids are more ready than adults give them credit for. You know, we have this big music festival in Chicago every year, Lisa, Lollapalooza, which is predominantly 18 to 24 year olds. I was there almost all day yesterday. I saw the majority extremely sophisticated teenagers who were out there negotiating the world like they were 50 years old.
Yeah, and by and large, most kids are for most of the time, but there are those dips. There's that first midterm that goes really badly, or there's that, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend that drops you. The kids can have, my son described college as a time of high highs and low lows, and I think that really sums it up. The kids have a great time, but they do hit these speed bumps, and they really can plunge, and they need to know we're there for them. You know, if you're feeling really terrible, call home, talk to your parents. You know, they shouldn't feel that they have to handle everything on their own. They've got resident advisors, they've got deans, there are people to speak to. The one thing kids shouldn't go to college with is feeling like, I've got this, I've got to handle it all myself, because that's where the problems really start.
Lisa Heffernan on the line with us, and you can go to her website. She's one of the co-founders, grownandflown.com. We're talking about some of the things that you need to know before your kids go away to school. We'll continue after this, 312-981-7200. It's Dean Richards in for Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, some things you need to know when your kids are on their way off to college, which in a few weeks, right? So the middle.
It's hard.
I'm telling you, mid-August, most of these kids are going to be either back or going back to college. And Lisa Heffernan's on the line with us, one of the co-founders of grownandflown.com. And there are some talks you need to have with your kids before they leave. And we discussed a couple of them, Lisa. Talk about the magnitude of going to college. Talk about their mental health, sexual misconduct. What are some more we need to know?
Well, I think it's really important that you talk to them about taking care of friends. You know, in high school, the adults are still around. But in college, friends almost become like an extended family. So this is a time where our kids are learning to really take care of other people, really to be there for other people. If we think back on our college friends, for those of us who went to college, those are people who really supported us into early adulthood. So it's just important to teach them kind of how to be that stand-up person for their friend, because there are going to be some rough moments where they're really needed. And we want them to be there.
All right. What about sleep? Is that important for kids?
Sleep? Well, let's just talk about freshmen. Freshmen are germ magnets. I don't think you can ever talk to a parent who's been through freshman year without a recitation of how many times their kid got sick. And the reasons they get sick are twofold. The first one you can't do a thing about. You got a bunch of kids coming from a bunch of different places into a dormitory and sleeping in you know, close quarters. But the second reason is they don't sleep. I was interviewing a medical professional on the Harvard campus earlier today, and he said the entire university is sleep-deprived. Everybody who works and lives at a university is sleep-deprived. So it's super important to really talk about how important it is to get that sleep, and when you're tired, not to push through it to sleep. Otherwise, your kid is simply going to be sick all the time.
And one of the loveliest parts of this, which I came across, was the last one, something that I think is important for every parent to do, and I don't know if every parent would think about it. Talk about this letter where you can share your pride.
Yeah, I didn't do this, okay? I'm going to fess up right now, and I regretted it right away. This is a big moment in life. There's a professor at Emory University who equates going away to college like marriages and births. It's a day that you remember forever. You remember dropping your kids at college. People remember their parents dropping them in college. The words that you say on that day have meaning, and they will be remembered. So a lot of us, you know, our last words to our child is, you know, don't forget to do your laundry, or, you know, don't get dirty, or sleep, or really stupid things. So if you don't feel like you're going to be able to say the important things, put them in a letter. Tell your child how much you love them. Tell them how they changed your life. Tell them how proud you are of this moment, that they got themselves here, that they did the work necessary, and that you know they will accomplish great things in the next 2 or 4 years. This is a moment to say things they will never forget. And we don't have a lot of those moments in our lives. So it's, you don't want to let it pass you by.
I am like getting all teary about this because really.
Sorry about that, Wendy.
No, but it's a wonderful thing to write. And a lot of times you're right. We parent out of necessity and out of stress a lot. It's like, okay, we got to go, but don't forget to unpack and don't forget to take your vitamins every day. So a lot of times you leave in kind of a frazzled way. But if you can just leave them with a letter, what do? Slip it into their suitcase? Do you just hand it to them and say, I just want you to read this? Wait till I leave. What's the best way?
Yeah, suitcases aren't a thing that really happen in college because there's no room for them. So I've written a lot about this. You're going to want to pack in garbage bags or in duffel bags. So, yeah, just hand them the note. Ask them to read it after you're gone. Just think of one or two things. You know, reverse the process. Think about what you will have wanted to have said. When you walk away, when you're gone, when the tears are shed, what will you want to be uppermost in your kid's mind? What will you, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what will you want them to have remember you having said? What's the most important thing in your family, in your values, a memory? If it's religion, maybe if you're a family that shares a strong religious background, maybe it's something in your religion. Obviously, for each family and each child, it's something different. But just something meaningful so that your last comment isn't about darks and whites.
Aren't you going to get sort of a, oh, Mom...
No.
Kind of you, reaction to it?
You might.
Or
you
is
might.
It, or if they weren't homesick before you dropped this letter, will they be after they open the letter?
Absolutely.
And realize, you know, how sad they're going to be?
They might be. It's a big moment, though, and everybody being a little sad, you know what? That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's okay. They may do the aw, Mom. They're more likely to do that if you try and talk to them during move-in. Because the roommates are there, the roommates' parents are there, there are people running in and out of the halls, there's stuff crashing everywhere, there's boxes everywhere, it's hot, it's dirty, better to leave the letter.
Although now they're going to cry like a baby that first night, they've just moved in and they're going to, yeah. But it's not such a bad thing. They want to, they'll...
You know,
I wonder if the letter is more, if the letter's more for the parent than for the child.
I'll tell you now, I wish my mom wrote me that letter.
I do too.
In hindsight, as an adult, but...
I would have loved it at the time.
Really? Okay.
I would have. You know,
and
instead...
you can't do something electronically, which is all of our, you know, I know I was texting my kids about how much I love them and I miss them and, you know, I'm so proud of them, but those texts are gone in the ether forever, you know, so it does have to be that good old-fashioned piece of paper in an envelope.
And then they can hang on to it forever.
Wendy's about to burst.
Exactly. I know.
I'm sorry, Wendy.
I got another year. There are parents that are already crying right now. I know it while they're listening.
Absolutely.
Check out grownandflown.com. Honestly, it's a favorite on my desktop. I check it all the time. Some great information. Lisa Heffernan, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Wendy. Thanks, Dean.
Grownandflown.com. I swear to God, I check it all the time, and then I cry. I'm a load of fun these days.
We're gonna see why Bill took the week off.
I know. See, a little of me goes a long way. To know me is to hate me. We're going to take a quick break, and then news is next, 720 WGN. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. You ready, Dean?
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Rather hear Tom Jones.
It's not unusual to have fun.
He is smooth over everything, I have to admit.
Awesome. He's the greatest.
The Welsh Wonder. We have a pair of tickets to see the legendary Tom Jones. October 3rd, House of Blues. You'll also pick up a certificate for the House of Blues restaurant and bar. Get your tickets at House of Blues, for the House of Blues at LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster. Or sing your little hearts out right here with Dean and Wendy.
We're gonna judge. Wendy, now, do you want to be a judge or you don't want to be because you don't want to make anybody mad? I enjoy making people mad.
All right, then you can be the judge.
Okay.
You really do?
I do not.
Okay.
Sometimes.
We should both judge. I think yeah. Lori's on the line. Are we having a... Oh, Lori is there. Hi,
hello.
Lori. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lyons.
All right. I grew up in Brookfield. Do you love Tom Jones?
Okay, neighbor. I do.
What are you going to be singing for us this afternoon?
Oh, the whole thing and the whole thing?
No, just what song are you going to sing?
But, you know, we want to get a good sampling.
My Delilah.
One more.
Oh, it's not unusual to be.
Have you...
Oh, God, I just kind of...
Have you started drinking already on this Friday?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I just got off of work.
All right, so it's Miller time. All right, hang on,
that's
Lori.
Fantastic.
I don't know Sex Bomb, otherwise I'd sing that.
And she's not talking about the song.
It came out '99.
All right, so see, she knows her Tom Jones.
She's a fan. All right, Lori, we're gonna put you in the holding room till we make our judgments. So... So hang on for just a second.
And that's how it works. Just pick a portion of a Tom Jones song and right. perform it for us as best you can.
Well, Lori has set the bar pretty high, though.
Annie, where are you calling from today?
Hello, Morton Grove.
Morton Grove. And you like mm-hmm. Tom Jones? Have you seen him before?
I saw him a long time ago at Ravinia with Etta James.
What piece Ooh. Of clothing did you throw?
I didn't, but I tell you, I had like, I think I had to have a bungee cord wrapped around me. He still has it going on. He really does. He's really good.
Wow. That's graphic.
All right. What will you be singing?
Well, I do know Sex Bomb, but I was thinking more like, What's New Pussycat? Kind of on the same wavelength there.
Okay. Now, the main thing here, you don't want to just like spit out a line. You want to impress the judges. This is like American Idol.
Okay.
You want to like put all the showbiz into it you can, all the sparkle, all the tinsel, all the glitter. Let it rip.
Okay. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pussycat, Pussycat, I love you. And then I can go into little sex bomb, sex bomb. You're my sex bomb.
All right, Annie, you got to hang on a minute because
It is Miller time.
We can tell. Yeah. Hang on, Annie. So far, Annie's
going to put you in the holding room.
Doing, I don't know, because Lori cracked me up too. Let's get through. Carl's on the line. Hi, Carl. Where are you calling from?
Wendy, Dean, Riverside, and the Splains River's right down the block, so I don't need to hear anything about flash floods right
yeah,
now.
No kidding. Oh, boy, it's in your backyard.
No right.
Not down the block anymore.
And just for the record, hand to God. October 3rd is my birthday.
All right. Well, what are you going to sing?
Well, people took Pussycat, but that was my first choice. How about the last stanza? That good?
Sure.
Okay. Ready to rip?
Yeah.
Let her rip.
Pussycat, Pussycat, you're delicious. And if my wishes can all come true, I'll soon be kissing your sweet little pussycat lips.
Wow.
Pussycat, Pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat lips.
Whoa, whoa. Whoa.
You and your pussycat eyes.
Whoa, whoa.
You and your pussycat nose.
Jazz hands.
Singer.
Pussycat.
Pretty great, Carl.
Pussycat. He threw that in at the end.
I did. That was pretty fantastic.
One extra pussycat.
You can never have enough pussycat.
That's what they say.
Wow. All right. Matt is on the road. Matt, where are you calling from?
Actually, I'm a Dan Ryan right now.
Are you actually driving right now?
He's pulled over.
Is this safe for you to do this?
I'm pulled over.
Actually, you're just stuck in bumper to bumper, but that's okay.
It's the same as being pulled over.
What are you going to sing?
We'll try the unusual song.
You sound really down. You got to pump it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And can I request that we get something besides It's Not Unusual? I mean, he's had a lot of songs. He's had She's a Lady. I'd like to hear a little She's a Lady from somebody.
Okay, I can do that one too.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Matt, you ready?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Well, she's a lady. Whoa, 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 she's a lady. Talking about a little lady. And the lady is mine.
That's good. That's good.
It's pretty great. You turned it on.
I think I got it so far.
Wow.
This is either Matt or Stephen Wright calling in. Hang on a minute, Matt.
Stephen Wright.
Did it sound like him?
He does.
All right. And Carol is our last contestant. Carol, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chicago, but I'm on 294 right now. Hands free.
What a good girl. All right. What will you be singing?
All right. Well, I'm going to do Pussycat because I've been practicing that one in the car, but I could do, it's not unusual, but let's do Pussycat, I guess.
I just want to throw in a Daughter of Darkness. Would it kill
someone? What's that?
Daughter of Darkness. I don't remember the rest of the song. Do you remember it?
Grass of Home. I know Green, Green Grass of Home.
Oh,
that's a great song. That's right.
But Pussycat's the one I've been practicing, or it's not unusual.
How long have you been practicing it? In the car?
In the car. I'm in traffic on 294.
Oh, God bless you for rehearsing for us.
We got to hear it if she's been rehearsing.
All right. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Oh, wait, hold on. Okay. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pussycat, Pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat nose, whoa, whoa. You and your pussycat eyes, whoa, whoa. You and your pussycat, whatever you end it with, eyes.
Very good, Carol. A nice job.
I love that.
Stay on hold. We will figure out a winner for Tom Jones tickets, but right now we have to go to the newsroom and Judy Pilak.
Hey there, guys. I know this is a story that a lot of people have been following. Drew Peterson has just gotten a 40-year prison sentence. That was for trying to have the state's attorney there in Will County killed. That is in addition to the sentence he's already serving, which I believe is around 60 years. So,
He's not going to see the light of day.
He's not getting out.
So it was the original 60 and now the additional 40?
Yeah. So today he just was sentenced to 40 more years. And I'm trying to look up his original sentence.
Okay.
It's pretty much life.
Yeah. That's not, we're not going to see him outside, I don't think, ever. Drew Peterson, thank you for breaking in with that. We'll have more on that as it develops. We have to judge now. We have to pick some of the best people here, one, actually, to go to the Tom Jones Show on October 3rd at House of Blues.
All right, should we take a break?
Yes, we'll take a break.
Confer. See who's four other hearts we want to break.
I know.
And one person's going to win.
All right, well, we're going to have to do that and stay on hold if you're there.
It's all Wendy's fault if you've lost.
No, I was just going to say it was your fault. Wow, we think alike. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Dean Richards, 720 WGN.
Hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. And there
to meet me. That part of the song where he talks.
Yes.
Isn't it like toward the end? Down the road.
Yes.
There was a girl.
I gotta hear the chorus here.
I want to slow dance with you right now.
All right. Hey, get your hand off my butt.
It's not my hand. What?
All right, I love Tom Jones. Now I want these tickets. We couldn't decide who to go to, so I have picked a winner, and you have picked a winner, and they have to go head-to-head. Is that correct?
We're having a Tom Jones off between Annie and Carl. So if you brought it before, I mean, really bring it, because this is a tiebreaker now.
All right, Annie, you should go first.
Okay. Do I got to see the same song? Or
you can do a medley. You remember, this is to win it. This is to steal it out of Carl's hands.
Impress us.
Okay. Well, you know what? I was the only one who knows. The sex is a bomb. You're my sex is a bomb. You can turn me over and then you can turn me on. Sex is a bomb. She's a lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. She's a lady. And what's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right.
That's good.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, she's going into a humming medley now.
Yeah, well, you know, that's when I kind of took my chonies off, you know, and threw them on the stage.
What?
There you go.
All right, Annie, that was awesome. Carl, you got a tough competition here. You have to do a little medley or just wow us.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not like that wow. You got to start singing.
She told me I was going to have a sing-off. I would have queued up another song. But anyway, actually, Green Green Grass of Home was my first choice.
So go.
You know. How does it begin again? I forgot already.
Oh, my God. This is not faring well.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. And there to meet me is my mama and papa down the road. Something, my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home.
Well, they're both good.
I got to tell you, in my opinion, Carl, you're great, but if we ever have an Elvis contest, maybe you would win that one.
I threw an Elvis.
I know. I don't know, Dean.
I got to go with the... I'm
going Annie.
I felt like there was a little comedy in Annie also, Carl, but...
Oh, break my heart on my birthday, too.
Oh, Carl, don't do that.
Double sixes, Dean, on October 3rd.
Congratulations.
Well, you
to
know
you.
What? Why don't we set Carl up with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate so you can have a Lou Malnati's pizza on your birthday?
Yeah, it's a $25 gift certificate. It's a lovely gift.
I love Lou Malnati's. And Wendy, I've never met you, but I enjoyed your narration on Channel 11. You know.
Oh, for Cornerstones of Rock.
Yeah, and just for the record, I'm going to see the Buckinghams tonight at the COD.
Awesome. Well, have a great time, and we'll set you up with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com.
And happy birthday.
Absolutely. And Annie, you have scored a pair of tickets to see Tom Jones. Get your panties ready.
No, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wally Phillips so just excited. Turned in his grave.
You have no idea. Oh, my God.
All right. Well,
I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
We can tell. You're going on October 3rd, House of Blues, where you're also going to get a certificate, so you have a great meal there, House of Blues Restaurant and Bar. And congratulations.
Annie, you have to promise, though, that you'll take some video of yourself acting like a complete fool when you're there.
No granny panties that night, and kind of the fool thing, it's not a big stretch, I'm telling you. If you would ask my significant other, he's probably going to have like a bag on his head already. I don't care.
I want to party with you guys, Annie.
Okay.
All right, hang on. We'll set you up. And the rest of you, if you would like to see Tom Jones live in action October 3rd at the House of Blues right here in Chicago, you can go to livenation.com or get your tickets at Ticketmaster. Great little contest from our talented listeners.
That was fun.
Quick break. Dean Richards has been filling in for Bill today. I really appreciate it. I love hanging out with you.
Thank you for inviting me. It's fun to be here.
And you are going to be out at Ravinia tonight.
Yes, I'm hoping that we're not going to have rain at Ravinia tonight for Titanic Live, showing the movie, and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra plays the soundtrack live, so it should be super cool.
And that, what time is movie time?
7 o'clock for the movie. My fascinating pre-movie discussion will begin at 6 o'clock.
All righty, well, cool. We'll take a quick break, and we'll talk to Rowan Anna next at 720 WGN.